Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
We give him 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by Sunday. I say if they don't get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the crippled, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all. He said, well, why kill them all? Why kill the women? First, why kill the babies? They're just little innocent blue-eyed babies. Because, goddammit, they're going to grow up one day to rule your babies. Kill them now. Why kill the women in South Africa? I said kill the women because the women are the military manufacturing center. And every 9 months, they lay down on their backs and reinforcement rolls out from between their legs. So shut down the military manufacturing center by killing the white woman. Why kill the elder crackers? The old crepit crackers in South Africa. How in the hell you think they got old? They got old oppressing and killing black people.
Yes, sir.
I said, kill the Kaka, kill the Elfar, kill the Hawk, God, darling. Kill them all. Kill the faggots, kill the lesbians. And after you kill them all, I said that day about Mandela to let you know what he really knows about me. Don't know a damn thing. I say, then you go to the goddamn grave and dig them up and kill them a goddamn kid because they didn't die hard enough.
Black power, and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Once again, that bold revolutionary broadcast is on the air. I open this show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers. Since we spoke different languages, that got the answers to many different names, but that one God of our forefathers and foremothers, giving balance and giving thanks to the original man and the original woman, because you don't have that God without the goddess. No spookism here. We give thanks to them, and we give thanks to our ancestors for showing us how to have a true family, how to be together, how to give alchemy and chemistry and science to the world, how to give real government to the world, how to build a world, and how to be civilized before a 6,000-year-old devil came and tried to make him and herself known. We give thanks to them. We give thanks to every single Panther regiment that stood up at any time. We're not set tripping here, that stood up at any time to fight for the liberation and rise of our people. We're thankful for all of the liberation movements, not just those who fell under the Panther banner, but we're thankful for all of the revolutionaries. All of the revolutionaries from the Aboriginal, the original nation. That means those with melanin. Let me get that clear on Black Power Radio. Those of us who have melanin, we give thanks to them and our people who have struggled and took lives and given lives for the liberation struggle of the oppressed people, and in specific, the black man and black woman here in the hells and smells of North America. We give thanks for them on this show, and we have to, as you heard in the opening, give thanks for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man, unrelenting, uncompromising, unflinching with the enemy, a brother who said that his purpose on this planet is to give the white man, the devil, hell from the cradle to the grave. I speak of the truth terrorist. That's what he was known as, the truth terrorist, the Black Panther hitman, pardon me, the Black History hitman. Got my words twisted up there. The Black History hitman, the urban guerrilla, the lie killer. That's what I'm talking about. The Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Ashe and Black Power, we give thanks for him, for his struggle, his sacrifice, and for laying the groundwork and expanding the base for this new Black Panther Party. And if we live to make the right old age of Methuselah, the ripe old age of Methuselah, we can never thank the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad enough for giving us a brother who has carried on in his tradition and in his name, in the spirit of freedom fighting, and in the spirit of organizing black people, the same way that the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, did, the same way that Minister Dr. Huey P. Newton did, the same way that his teacher, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, did, the same way that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did, the same way the great men and women have done, this black man still continues to fight in this day and time, where many of you have given up and punked out. You're buck dancing and shuffling and scratching where you don't itch. You're sissified, as the generals say. You're sissified, punctified, pasteurized, and homogenized Negroes for the white man. We give thanks for this black man who is still pushing and still struggling and still fighting and still continuing on in the spirit of the Black Power General. We're talking about the attorney at war, the warrior lawyer. Remember that name, the title, the warrior lawyer, the five-star general, the brother who comes in the spirit of a minister, Malcolm X. And although Minister Malcolm X couldn't be an attorney, this black man is an attorney. So with his law degree in hand, as General George Jackson talked about having the pamphlet in one hand and organizing the people. George Jackson talked about, in blood of my eye, having the pamphlet in one hand. This black man got his law degree in one hand and his gun in the other hand. I'm talking about our national chairman, the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm your host, Sean Kwali. Glad to be here with you on another edition of Black Power Radio, another power-packed presentation right here for you, the people who have been lost from name, language, culture, folkway, foray, Norway, and norms, and robbed the very power of your own being. This broadcast is for you. Hell, if you have technology in mind and you're a devil, you might want to take some notes, but I can't say this broadcast is for you. Week after week, before I even get into that, let me just say thank you to our listeners, those of you who listen to us every single week and help this broadcast to continue. We've been going on strong for some years now, starting out as a little small broadcast with just some twos and fews, moved our way on up into some 20s, into some 50s. Now we are enjoyed in the thousands, according to the stats. According to the stats, we're all over the world. So for those of you listening in Africa, those of you that are listening in London, those of you that are listening in Canada, our family out there, we say black power to you and all power to the people. It's freedom or death. And those of you who are here in the hells and smells of North America right here with me, your brother, I say thank you for listening and supporting the official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party. Although we got many baby planes out here, don't get it twisted. We got many baby planes out here. This broadcast is the mothership. Shout out to George Clinton. Let me get right into it. We're talking about, brother and sister, we're talking about state-sponsored terrorism. State-sponsored terrorism. If you don't know what that is, that, for example, I'm giving you one example. That's when your brothers is killed or your sisters is killed in the streets illegally at the hands, and I always say, damn, it's always illegal to me. Another subject for another damn day. But hell, when your brother and your sister is killed in the streets at the hands of the pigs, at the hands of the beast, at the hands of the enemy, that's state-sponsored terrorism. Why? Because your tax dollars and my tax dollars are helping the pigs to kill your family and to kill your brother and your sister and to kill people who otherwise would be peaceful if the conditions were set righteously. We'll talk about that. So on the show now, I mean, we got a lot. Now, the title talks about for the black, the brown, the red, I should have added the yellow in there, but hell, all the indigenous family, hell, we're under some state-sponsored terrorism. Now, I'm going to let them tell you why we didn't include the white, okay? But hell, state-sponsored terrorism. We're on the show now. We have a long list, a long lineup of revolutionaries and freedom fighters that's going to come to you from both halves of this broadcast. So this will not let up at any point. We will not lose steam at any point. And I'm telling you now, you better call in if you're listening by internet at 646-478-4447 because we may go into overdrive. I'll give you the 10-minute warning right about 9:50 or so. We're going to go into overdrive and go into the after show because I cannot let these activists on this line not get heard. You know, we got those that have been fighting for generations and are still in the struggle. Salutes to you. We're talking about those like Chief Ernie Longwalker, who'll be on with us. He gonna tell you his struggle, his story. He gonna tell you his fights against the white man, his fights for sovereignty, his walks and the things he's done to maintain some justice in his life and in the life of his people and us. We also got on with his queen, Sister Warrior Woman. You know she's a strong supporter. Both of them supporters of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Supporters of the new Black Panther Party, supporters of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, most importantly, revolutionaries. They are both revolutionaries. And as I said in the beginning, neither one of them has given up the fight. For those of you that feel like you got up in age and this fight ain't for you no more, take the example of Chief Ernie Longwalker and take the example of Sister Warrior Woman. They have not given up the fight. They understand it just as revolution is a process. There are processes of oppression that have to be undone. We've been in this situation for 400 years in America as a people, and much longer than that globally. We've got processes of oppression to undo. And some of y'all want to sit down. They're going to tell you about it. We got on the show with us a sister who I'm happy to ride with, and one who, they tried to put us in some controversy, saying we was on some kind of secret secret conference call. You're a lie, devil. The devil is, as they say in the church, the devil is a lie. We wasn't on no secret conference call talking about no bloodshed. We was talking right here on Black Power Radio, talking about crossing the Red Sea, a revolution that must take place for our people to get free, that there has to be some bloodshed. This is a sister who stood up and was bold and said she was tired of seeing our people hurt, our people being abused, our people being mistreated. She was ready to stand up and is ready to stand up. And a sister who the devil tried to break but couldn't break, and she's black, strong at your behind. I'm talking about our sister coming up right out of Tampa, Florida, that bold chief of staff down there in Tampa, Florida, where she's doing more than raising oranges. She's up there raising some black folk, some black men and some black women, talking about our sister Michelle Williams. She's going to be on with us. She's going to join us and talk to you about what's happening in Florida, police brutality down there, talking about how they're locking the city down in preparation for some raggedy convention we don't give a damn about, harassing black people. If you got black skin on, you got melanated skin, you might as well put yourself in handcuffs. That's how they're treating you down there. and all throughout this country. She's going to join us. Second half of the broadcast, we're going to hear from some bold revolutionaries and freedom fighters. Some men, a brother and a sister that I'm happy to roll with anytime, any place, anywhere in the hills and smells of North America and throughout the world. A brother who they tried to also put him down and character assassinate him and make him feel bad about representing for black people and for representing for our elders and representing for our people, period. Try to call him all kind of names, have him all twisted on sound bites and things, try to twist him all up on National Geographic. That's part of the reason why I wanted to play that clip for you all. Because everything that we talk about, no matter how off it may sound to some of you that don't have history, don't know nothing about it, we can prove it to you. We can talk to you about how the white man used black children for alligator bait, and how black children were cut out of the wombs of the black woman and the boot heel of the white man stomped on our babies' heads. We can talk to you about that. We can talk to you about how the babies were raped, and we can talk to you about how the babies were sold off into other plantations, separated from the family. You want to talk terrorism? Black people are the best people in the world to talk to about terrorism. You ain't got to go to no A-Rise or nobody else. Talk to some black folk that live in America. We're going to hear from our brother, our big brother and soldier who's been on the battlefield for a long time, who has new music coming now we hope to hear from tonight. A brother who, as he say in his song, he's trained by Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he's trained by Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, a brother born for the mission for the liberation and salvation of the black nation, talking about our national field marshal, talking about a strong soldier, minister, King Samir Shabazz, and backing him up like a turbojet engine on the plane is a sister who came all the way from Florida herself, landed all the way into Atlanta, went all the way to California, crisscrossed all the way back over and got black to Atlanta, all in the name of the liberation struggle. A sister who eats, breathes, sleeps, and lives. I'm going to say that again. Eats, breathes, eats, sleeps, breathes, and lives. Black tongue twister for you, the revolution. Every day her mind is on the liberation of the people in one form or another. Her every breath, her every step, her everything that she do, she's always moving for the liberation and salvation of the oppressed people, and specific black people in the hells and smells of North America. This sister say she's a George Jacksonian. That means she lived by blood in my eye. Huh? Yeah, y'all got to get up on that. She's down for the fight. She says it's war to the knife. That means to the last weapon. She's down for it. And whatever it got to go to get to the win. We're talking about our Deputy National Field Marshal, Sister Queen Commander Nadia Shakur. So that's the intro. But I'm saying buckle your safety belts. Bottom line, you can hear by now, your safety belt should be buckled. And if at any time the cabin becomes depressurized, all you got to do, as the general say, is grab that mask, put it over your face, and tap the person next to you and make sure they get some oxygen. This is Black Power Radio. So let me get right on into the show. First of all, let me say this even going there. For those of you that have supported the broadcast, I thank you. And for those of you that want to continue to support the broadcast, please do so. We want to expand Black Power Radio into Black Power Television and Black Power everything. I want to begin to, every time these devils open their eyes, they see some new Black Panther party on the menu. So you can send your donations. Please send them. Okay, Black Power Radio to P.O. Box 11757. Again, P.O. Box 11757, Louisville, Kentucky, 40211. 11757, P.O. Box. That's the number, Louisville, Kentucky, zip code 40211. Let's get off into it. This is Black Power Radio. I want to bring straight up and straight on our sister who we told you about coming right up out of Tampa, Florida. She got to share with you some of the things that's going on with this police brutality and the stuff that's happening with the Republic Klan Convention and all this type of deal. Help me, brothers and sisters, to welcome to Black Power Radio our mighty bold chief of staff up out of the Tampa, Florida area. Let's hear from Sister Michelle Williams. Black Power.
All power to the people. Black power.
All power
to all the haters.
Black power.
To all the haters. To all the haters. To all the wannabes. To all the white folks who I've pissed off, who I'm going to stay pissing off. If you don't like what I'm saying, if you're afraid that I'm going to speak the truth, if you're mad because I'm speaking the truth, I encourage you right now to hang up the damn phone, because this is no place for any baby sucking titties right now this evening. We bought straight power. We bought the evolutionary. We bought the revolutionary of the black community. If you can't handle the truth, get out the kitchen, okay? Straight coming. I'm not even going to hold no punches. The brother already gave you the introduction of who's going to be on the phone call. We're going to talk straight, deliberate hatred that the Republican National Party has for the black people in the state of Florida happening right now. In the city of Tampa, we are under siege by the Republican National Convention headers of this collective-minded group of white people, tea partners, tea baggers, people who hate black people. We are under siege right now, and I'm so happy that this national black syndicated Black Panther radio show, that it is being listened to, monitored, and watched by all walks of life. But you better know that it's not going to be tolerated, that black people will not have the equality of the same privileged life that white people have in the city of Tampa, in the state of Florida right now. Brother Sean Quali, let me tell you something, what you're doing to the black community right now. Every morning I'm awakened between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. because they don't even want the people to come outside to sit on their front steps. And these good black people have worked their entire lives owning their properties without the Tampa Police Department helicopter reminding you that you're being watched by the almighty bird in the sky. What else they're doing? They've been paid $50 million. $50 million. But guess what? The city of Tampa is the one that got the short end of the stick. The Republican National Convention was supposed to give Tampa $170 million. So where's the rest of the money going to? What's good for the goose is good for the gander right now. That's good for your white asses. You thought you was going to be getting the good of the lamb, and you ain't got shit. And I'm just calling it like it is right now. They're around here killing. We just recently had a 16-year-old black male who was killed beneath a surveillance camera on the third landing, the third floor of his apartment complex where he and his mother reside. This young black mother, 36 years old, watched her baby die in front of her along with his 12-year-old brother, watched his older brother die in front of her, and the police would not even let this young man take his last breath in the hands, in the arms of his beautiful black queen, of a black mother. And then these bastards had the audacity to pour a bleach-like substance on the body. They murdered this young black child, because when the EMS got there, they said that he still had a faint pulse. But what led them to believe that something else was going on in the report, the 30-page report that the ER doctor at St. Joseph's Hospital in Tampa, Florida gave us, is that when we received the body was riddled with 14 bullets. 14 bullets, three times to the back, 10 times to the left side, and one time behind the young man's left ear. They executed this child like he was a piece of paper at a shooting range. They executed, they assassinated, they murdered this young 16-year-old unarmed black male child in front of his mother and 12-year-old brother and in front of the community. And when the community became outraged with saying, you all murdered this boy, you all killed this boy in front of his mama, you murdered, assassinated this boy in front of his 12-year-old boy, they began to shoot the crowd with rubber bullets. 3- and 4-year-old children were getting hit by these bullets. We are under siege in the city of Tampa, all because of this Republican National Convention has everyone on edge, where black people have to stay in our homes, that they don't want any presence of anybody that looks like me, walks like me, or talks like me to be anywhere near the vicinity of this Republican National Convention. The Republicans hate black people. And to all the black people that are Republicans, I ask you on this day, this 12th day of August 2012, I ask you this day, when did you lose your dignity and lay down for these damn crackers who mean this black community no good? They've shown this. Their history has shown this. So if white people are mad because I continue to call them crackers on the day that you stop referring to
me as a nigger and representing my black people as a nigger and treating my black community as a nigger. I'm labeled the ounce of my damn pinky toe let up off your own asses. But other than that, you better believe my foot on your goddamn motherfucker's neck.
Right. What's the young brother's name? A lot of people don't know the young brother's name, and I do want to say, hey, that go for the Democratic Party, too. What's the young brother's name that got shot?
His name is Javon Neal, and if you go to Google, you can Google. The state attorney has refused to release the tape because he knows once he releases that tape and it shows the whole entire world that this young man was murdered. He was executed, assassinated beneath a surveillance camera that showed this young man didn't have a gun in his hand. They so stupid. They're so fucking dumb. They tried to crop the time on the picture but forgot to change the damn date. Some dumbass dummies. This is what I'm talking about. White people will not go. They will not stop at anything to cover up their level of hatred. They will not stop to cover up their level of corruption. They will not stop to cover up their level of nepotism. Something that you said, Brother Sean, back on April 2012 of this year, that we have to starve these white people, because the only way that they recognize and will say, well, wait a minute, what do the Negroes want? We got to starve them with goddamn capitalism. Take the $357 billion that we spend into this crooked-ass economy every year. Let's take our funded dollars out. But black people refuse to get on the same level. They refuse to join an organized body for the liberation of the black man, woman, and child. What is it going to take? Is it going to take a death of your loved one in order for you to be able to call on a new Black Panther Party? Because I know when that young man was shot, my phone rung from the community, not from the mom and dad. My phone call rung from the community. Even police officers called me, who I know, say, sister, what you gonna do about this?
Damn shame. What do you suggest that we do, Sister Michelle? What do we do then? What should Tampa be doing right now?
Tampa at this point right now, I've been saying it since April, there has to be a bout of organization. We have to continue to challenge the powers at be. You know, I'm just as hard on the Democratic Party as I am on the Republicans, because the Democratic Party has been nothing but enablers of the black damn community, the man, woman, and child. You know, that's exactly what they are. The damn Republicans hate us, and the goddamn Democrats are nothing but enablers of the black damn community. The black leaders have laid down, they rolled over, they lost every ounce of dignity within them. You know, they might as well go ahead and step the foot on the banana peel and the other one in the damn grave. Because they mean the blacks no good right now, sitting standing with this order of oppression. They mean the black community no good at this point. But we have to continue to beat the pavement. We have to continue to beat the pavement with organization. We have to continue to beat the pavement with unity in the black community. You know, this self-hatred that we have amongst ourselves. You know, I'm telling anybody, whether you own this phone call, whether you speak in malice against me and Brother Sean of the MVPP, you know, you better do that in your secret corner, because if I catch you out loud, I'm going to expose you to the community. And that's one thing that we are not doing. We are not exposing these traitors and these black leaders in the community. That's where the level has to come from. You have to expose them to change them. You know what I'm saying? If we can't expose them to change them, then we can't see any change to them. Because let me tell you something. I'm not bragging or tooting my own horn. I'll never do that, because the work that Michelle Williams does, it speaks for itself. And I don't give a 5-4-3-2-1 fuck who don't like it. It speaks for itself. They so scared of me. They are so afraid of me. We're just sending over mere public information requests. Mere public information requests about the death of Javon Neal. And my phone call is ringing from the top down. Oh, Ms. Williams, I didn't know that you were interested in. You damn right I'm interested in what happens to an unarmed black teen who you all alleged that had a gun, and this young man didn't have a gun, with more than 100 eyewitnesses, because there was a birthday party going on. There are more than a, so I guess black people, we're not good enough to be witnesses We're not good enough to be witnesses when it comes to the shooting death of a 16-year-old black child who had never been in trouble a day in his life, had never been arrested a day in his life, had never seen the inside of a juvenile home, but we're not good enough to speak the truth that this young man didn't have a gun. You know what these police officers did? They went over to this poverty-stricken community where it's so nasty. Central Court apartment complex is owned by five white men, one of them being a lawyer. You know, when this young man, this white owner did not show not one ounce of remorse that this young man had been killed in his apartment complex. He said, "Oh, I can't believe the level of filthiness and trash that my property manager allows the residents to have on my property." He talked about the trash being on his property around the dumpster area where the trash belongs at the dumpster. If the dumpster is overfilled, I suggest you pay your city sewage and water bill in order for the waste management company to come and dump your trash. But he showed no remorse. It's like the black community has become immune. Brother Sean, we have become immune.
That's right.
The fact that we refuse to do anything is, you know, the only thing that black leaders want to do is say we're going to go to church and, oh, God, we're going to pray to our Heavenly Father that these white people just stop doing this to us. Well, I told you, like I told them last week, you go ahead and go in the church house and pray, because I'm going to be out here in the streets and I'm going to keep fighting for justice, fighting that this judicial system gives a black man, woman, a child a fair chance that she says that she's going to give them when he or she walks into that courtroom. Fight the fact that we have racial profiling, police intimidation, harassment of the black community. Let's continue to beat the streets and say, black people, wake up. It's almost pointless at this point, Brother Sean, that I'm tired of trying to reach these grown black men. We have to save our youth. We have to tell our youth, turning to the black-on-black crime is not going to be tolerated. But elevate your mind, because here is the water that we want you to drink. Know your history. Know that you had great ancestors who loved you enough that these crackers, goddammit, killed them because they were saying too much of the right things. Know that you had ancestors that laid down their lives in the middle of the night where they were riddled with bullets, like Brother Fred Hampton. You know, our black men and our black children don't even know who Fred Hampton was. They don't even know who Dr. Khalid Muhammad was. They don't even know who Petey Green was. They don't know who Megan Evers was. Our black children don't know their history, but yet and still the white man, the white teacher, the white principal, the white superintendent wants us to tell their history. Well, let me go ahead and tell your history. Dad, you stole the land from the Indians. You started the welfare line with the Indians, and they gave you sheepskin, and they gave you a buffalo skin for you to go out and trade this, for you to go out and build and live. And let's talk about that goddamn Hokie Columbus that fought the goddamn flag with goddamn flag. I wish this damn ass would have sailed this right on off of it. But this is the type of tolerant things that white America wants us to continue to be able to tolerate. You know, and I'm just going to just touch this just a little bit because I want somebody else to speak on it also. But let's talk about a black man. Let's talk about the young black man, Chavez Carter, who's handcuffed in the back of a police cruiser, who is left-handed, but shot himself in the right temple with suicide. If the handwriting does not get any clearer on the wall that white people hate us, they hate the fact that a black man is in the highest house, the highest level of the law of the land in the White House. They hate President Barack Obama to the point that it has trickled down to the black communities of this hatred. It has gotten more blatant. You know, the FPLC, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, headed by Morris Deeds, you know, Mr. Deeds wants to say, you know, the new Black Panthers are this terrorist group. We've shown you no acts of terrorism. However, what we've shown you is the consistent beat that we are for the liberation of the black man, woman, and child, that the quality of life should be granted to the black man, woman, and child. Just as freely as these goddamn crackers want to move about the goddamn country, so does my damn children. We want to move about this country freely treated just as a goddamn white man, woman, or child.
That's right. That's right. Somebody better get a sister a black hand where you are. Sister Michelle, listen. What can we do now that we know the facts and you're kicking the ballistics and the statistics to us? Tell us now how we can link up with you right there in Tampa, or what we can do on the ground, the people that want to help our young brother and help black people there and help
we have
offset the lies.
We have a petition going on change.org. When you go to change.org, Brother Sean, I'll tag you and all the MVP pages tonight. But if you go on, it says, Justice for Javon Neal, stop killing our children. Stop killing our children. Our children, you know why? It is so easy. I have to make this point right here. It is so easy for the white man, this white government, these white police officers, these white politicians, it's so easy for them to come into the black communities and do what they've been programmed to do, because the black leadership, the black politicians, the black pastors, the black police officers, it's so easy for the white man to continue to do what they do to the black community, because we have allowed this race of people to come in and slaughter us. When I say slaughter us, they want us muted. They want us muzzled. They want the continued oppression that they've been programmed to do. This is all because our black leaders have sold themselves to these oppressors. They want to know, boss, how much money can I get if I just say that I'm going to start another study group, but I'm going to lie to the federal government to get this grant money. But I don't want to talk to these niggas at hand, because I can give a damn about them, boss, because it's whatever you say, boss. We can't afford that. Allow another study group to come into the black community. We have been studied out. The same statistical reports and studies group that they had back in 1940, 1950, 1960, 70, 80, 90, and 2000. It's the same thing going on in the 21st damn century. Ain't nothing changed. Black leaders are laid down, sold themselves to the devil, and the white man's is clapping gold, just like they goddamn crack on Mitt Romney. They're clapping, they want to clap their asses to goddamn glory right now. So if, until we can stop them, the hand clapping the glory for the white race, black people, you better look out. You better look out, because there's some strong, liberated-minded people who think like me, walk like me, and talk like me that's saying enough is enough. It's time to expose your ass for being traitors in the black community. We can't afford to have no more traitors in our community. And shame on the black leaders. Shame on the white leaders, because when we expose the black leaders, you better believe they gonna end up saying, well, you know, so-and-so, the one that paid me, then all of a sudden now you want to tell on your master.
Teach. Damn. And that's real. Says, give us that web address one more time. Give us your email. Man, you lighting that fire. Go ahead.
Go to www.change.org and you can type in Justice for Javon Neal, stop killing our kids. Stop killing our children. I'm sorry. Stop killing our children. Please sign this petition. We're calling on that the FBI, under the color of law, take this case for the wrongful death of this young black child who was executed, assassinated, murdered in front of his mother and in front of his 12-year-old brother. No child should have to see that. There were babies ranging from the ages of 2 to 21 at the time when this young man was gunned down. And to come to find out, the 911 call that came in, all because this young man, Brother Sean, fit the description. He was a young black man who had on dreads and had on a baseball cap. And when I got to the scene of the crime, there was more than 50, 60, 70 young black men over there with long dreads and a baseball cap on. So when did police get out and do their job? When did they get out and do their job and ask questions before they went running and chasing behind the first young black child or the first young black male suspect that had on a baseball cap and long dreads? You know, that common practice that they try to give us, oh, he or she fits the description of the suspect that we were looking for. Or, you know what, we couldn't see your tag light, but your brake light was out. If you're walking down the street and you don't have a form ID or a driver's license on you to prove your residency, you being handcuffed and harassed and intimidated by police officers. The city of Tampa is under siege. The black communities throughout the United States, we are under siege. Every 36 to 40 hours, these police officers are killing a black man, woman, a child. And we have nothing about it. And you know what I keep telling people? You all keep thinking that you're going to have a good old Al Sharpton or a good old Jesse Messy Jackson to come and be the saviors with the Superman cape on. The liberation of our communities to come from under the siege of the white man's thumb, from underneath Tom's thumb. We have to get out. We have to fight this battle ourselves. We have to go and challenge them. We have to set an overload of lawsuits in the court system. This is what we have to do. Brother Sean, I'm not going to take up much more of your time, but like I say to every goddamn white man on this damn phone call, if you're going to quote me, damn it, you better rewind this tape as many times as your white ass needs to, and you better quote my ass right this time.
Go ahead. Black Power. Sister Michelle, Black Power salute to you, Queen. Thank you so much. This definitely will not be your last time. You know how we do. Got to get you back to get an update, sister. Thank you for your fire. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for representing for strong black women. We appreciate you. Black Power. Man. Woo! Got to give it to her. I got to give it to her. Let me give you the applause or something. Just give you a straight up applause. I mean, man. Black Power. That's our chief of staff out of Tampa, Florida, Sister Michelle Williams. I told you, it's fire. It's fire. We don't even intend to let up at all. Man, we don't even intend to let up at all. Right behind our sister chief of staff comes two warriors. I'm telling you, this, you already know, you're not on. This is not Rush Limbaugh. Hey, Pill Popper, this is not your show, buddy. This is not your show, sir. This is Black Power Radio. You damn sure ain't tuned in to Sean Hannity. you know, Hal Turner's boy. You ain't tuned in to him. This is Black Power Radio. We're with you. We're riding for our people and riding for the indigenous. I want to bring on now to Black Power Radio our family that's on the West Coast, far, trying to be as far as they can from the white man. They've had plenty of battles against the enemy and the oppressor. They've had plenty of clashes. I'm talking about straight up clashes. Been to jail, all kind of stuff, and they still struggling, still going, still fighting. And you heard our sister Michelle talk about the so-called Indians. These ain't no fake. So these ain't no fake natives. We don't even use that term. These ain't no fake natives. These are Aboriginal people right here. As you know, you got some white folks and others jumping on the bandwagon. Old Sally running around with a feather in her cap, running around. She running around doing dances, ain't got nothing to do with her. You do that dance and lightning might strike. I want to bring on to Black Power Radio our family. We get two for one special. Want to bring on now, I'm going to open the mic of my sister, Sister Warrior Woman, and with her is her king husband, Chief Ernie Longwalker. Black Power, how you doing?
Black Power, peace and love. We're here listening and we understand a lot of the racism or institutional racism because their society was brought over. And they, you know, when they talk about like Thanksgiving, when they talk about indigenous people, you know, their Thanksgiving was really slaughtering the Indians, you know, and it gets, you know, sick just to even be around them, you know, and like you said, we did. We went all the way up to the mountains. We have 240 acres here that we're teaching people survival tactics, spirituality, and target practice, you know, so they don't have to shoot a pregnant woman or a baby in a stroller. They know, and they know the enemy by the time they leave here. So here's Long Walker.
Brother Long Walker, how are you?
Oh.
Hey.
I'm on straight time.
How you doing, Brother Long Walker?
I'm on straight time, but I don't mean it. It's hard for me to talk about it because I've been in the struggle so long that I think the greatest enemy, and you're going to have to bear with me, the greatest enemy we got, the red, the black, the white, and the yellow, is the one we see in the mirror every morning. We've got to straighten that individual up. We've got the gift of gab. We've got their education. We've got everything they brought to us. In fact, we're better at some of the violence than they are. But what we have done, we forgot who we are.
That's right.
We are beautiful people. We are beautiful red people, black. You know, the yellow people, I can't say much for the white. But
can't say that at all.
Is that people keep saying, what can we do to suppress the enemy? Well, what we can do is get together up here in the mountain where they can't hear us, where they can't don't know what we're going to do. We can talk. There is so many things we can do, but we have to do it together, not over the radio, not, you know, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. We
appear
like the wife said. We're teaching them who the enemy is, and it's not each other.
Right
now, they got us fighting each other.
Right.
We got all our own people. We're fighting each other, and the white man's sitting back, and he's laughing at us. In fact, if one of us start getting weak, he'll give you money and a new car and a blonde.
No, that's right. That's right.
So that's why I said that if we could get together someplace, have our own tribunal, get all our people of color together, have our own tribunal, and decide what we are going to do with these people. Because we are the landlords, a red man. And the only man that we ever, or woman that we ever accepted in this country, because they were brought here against their will, was our black brothers and sisters.
That's
right. We become blood brothers from day one.
Uh-huh.
But they took it from us. My brother, if we could get together in private, I'm sure that just them knowing that we were going to do that would throw a scare into them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chief Ernie. How did you get involved in the struggle?
1492 is when our people got in the struggle. You're talking about terrorism? We're professionals at terrorism too. We've been fighting them ever since. We're still fighting them. Right now on all the indigenous reservations, they couldn't whip us with their cavalry, with their churches. So what they do is they put casinos on these reservations. And now the people got so much money, they don't even want to blink their eyes in fear to lose it. And myself, I'm a full blood.
Not
from these casinos, because the white man and his kind are in control of the tribe, they're in control of the money. And I have yet in over 25 years to get a nickel. And I said, you know what? It hasn't hurt me. I'm still moving. I'm not going to stop. So, you said, when did I get involved?
Oh, yes, sir. We're just trying.
Yeah, I remember when growing up, we couldn't go to white schools. We couldn't go to churches. We couldn't go to town. We were sent to boarding schools for 9 months of the year. No matter what our injuries or sickness, how bad it was, we had to go to hospitals 100 and some miles away. They wouldn't even take us. I mean, you know, there's not enough time to tell why we're at today.
Right.
And they talked to him as mother. I feel our people, young men, when they get killed. But we've had some of our women. I don't want to mention his name, but his sister, a few years ago, she was missing. They finally found what was left of her, one foot tied to a fence post, and the other part they must have tied to the back of a truck, and they pulled her in half. You know what? There wasn't even an investigation. They know who the rednecks were, but they're still running free. I mean, we
still
can go
free
out day after day. What's happening right today? So, as long as that's going, and as long as I can pull my good finger, my trigger finger, I should... they better be careful.
Go ahead. We share the same spirit with you, Chief Ernie. Tell us, we're just trying to get familiar. Some of the listening audience may not know exactly who you are. So we're just trying to familiarize some of the audience. But tell us about your time during the longest walk and things you did at that time.
Long Walker's a traditional teacher. They call him medicine man. He's a spiritual advisor. And one of the things is they don't talk of all the things they've accomplished, you know. So what we do is we try to explain to the people that, you know, he was part of the American Indian movement back in the 70s and 60s. And then he started an organization called Four Directions, then Red Wind, then Oyate. In 1978, they made him chief of the longest walk, chief of 56 tribes at the time they did the ceremony before we got to Washington, D.C. It took us 6 months from Sacramento, California to Washington, D.C., and then from there into Point Conception, where they were trying to build a nuclear power plant, liquid gas, whatever, outside of Santa Barbara. And then, you know, the fishing fight was happening. Then Big Mountain was happening. So this is what we were doing after 78, was to help the traditional people get spiritually strong to see that if death was coming, then go ahead, because we're already, you know, we'll leave before you even can get us. So
exactly.
That is part of the ceremony, is that you become one with creation. They're raping the earth, they're raping the air, they're polluting the ground, they're doing all of these things. And this is the only way as people, you know, because people have told us the definition of human means the color like human, meaning we're not really human, you know. And you only hear human is when you talk about a dog pound, human, you know, the right for dogs, not people.
Okay.
So we're calling ourselves things in their white language. And so when we went to Europe, it's a whole different type of language of English that they speak, because they taught us through their education. They gave us a brainwash through their school system. You know, when we talk about terrorism, they came and they got the Indians, put them on a reservation, a human zoo, a human prison, and they've been there those 200 and some years, because they haven't been here for the 500. They even lied
about
that, just like they lied about Christopher Columbus. Columbus didn't come all the way here. We would all be called Columbus instead of America, you know, and
that's
the
right.
lies they continue to tell, you know, and they will not face the truth. That's why they fear us as traditionalists. We're like a virus in your computer. We're a walking virus, because when you see us, you know there's not that many of us. And when you know, when you look at us and you see what they did to our people, and we're still here and we're still resisting, we're resisting our life. You know what I mean? Our life is the resistance, as long as we continue. That's why we get so upset when we see white or any other colored people running our sweat lodges, our INIPIs, you know, are running the Sundance, like the ex, or now, you know, national leadership in the American Indian Movement. You know, a lot of us left the American Indian Movement because in 78, when we walked across the country, it was for money. And to us, it was a spiritual thing where we were walking with nothing, you know, only the air and the sun and only natural creation. So there's 11 bills, or there was 11 bills, and we defeated all of them before we got to Washington, and Carter and all those people didn't even want to, you know, talk to us, but that's cool, because we didn't want to talk to no white people. Anyway, by the time we got
ahead.
You know, I mean, even our prayers, when we were praying and walking to D.C., a helicopter went down, and they says, oh, those Indians did it, you know. Well, I says, oh, we, you know, Tenkashi, my grandfather, he answered our prayers, you know. It went down,
that's
he just laughed, you know. Because that's the power
that's
we all can get, and we can have, if we would put our minds together. But they brought all foreign religion and foreign ways, you know, to teach us. You know, they kidnapped us from who we are and put us into their educational prison, and only the ones that are going to kiss ass or homosexuals are the ones that make it, you know? That's why when Ali Muhammad was alive, and he says, all they are, the only thing they brought us were, you know, faggots. And I says, you know what? I went to a university. They were talking about how the maggots were eating their boats, and they had to go and get another ship, you know? I mean, they even brought maggots. I says, you know, so I made a joke when I talk. I says, yeah, the only thing they brought were faggots and maggots. That's it, you know? That's how those people are, you know? I mean, when you talk to the elders, and the elders tell you, the elders tell us about, you know, how these white people came here and how they brought homosexuality, how they brought, eating cannibalism. And I found out just a couple years going back to Minnesota that they used to cut us up, wrap us up, and send us to Europe so they could eat us, and they called us the big pig, you know, send some of that big pig meat. You know, so if when these white people go up and start eating people, they're only popping up what was, you know, in the beginning of them, you know?
Exactly.
So when you know the truth and you see the truth, to us, we have to learn, and we are still learning, not the value of materialism. You know, the big house,
right.
You know, the $200 shirt or the $1,000, you know, suit. You know, it's the white man's clothes. You know, why aren't we wearing our traditional clothes that we make ourselves, and then we don't have to buy it from anybody, you know?
Great teacher.
So there's a lot of things, you know, and that's what I said. We have a survival camp here, and the most important thing is to be who you are. You know, we can see, like Longwalker said, in the mirror, we're black, we're brown, we're red, we're yellow. We're not white with blue eyes and blonde hair. Some of our babies are coming out that color, but we still love them just the same. I don't see why we should love the actual white person. You know, on my website, some people say, look at this, and they show a white person with feathers. And I go, psychologically, you know, these people are telling me they love the white man, you know, because they'll put a white child, you know, with Obama holding it, you know. It's like, kiss the white baby, you know, the politician,
right.
You know. Yeah, and it's tough. It's sad, you know, and I says we have to get pissed off enough and organize, like Kwame Ture said all the time, organize. You organize the people and wake them up. To me, when I spoke over there and what was that university in Washington, Harvard or some university I spoke, and it was funny because it's like they were saying, we're your women, you agitate. Educate and organize, you know, because I get them pissed off, wake up,
right.
You know, because I remember the Willie Lynch
like
syndrome. How many hundreds of years are we going to be programmed before we break out of this programming mold, you know? They mold
That's
us
the
into
question.
Slaves, they mold us into workers, they mold us into the street junkies, you know, and living in poverty, and we're supposed to be happy. They take our land, they take the water resources and everything, then they try to sell us back a house with electricity and gas and oil and cars, you know, and all this stuff to give it back to them. And it was ours in the beginning. And that's why they don't want us to wake up, because they owe us.
That's right.
They owe us
Natural.
More than they can even afford. Right now they're broke. Why do you think they're becoming chummy with the tribal chairmans all over here in the United States? Because they want the resources that they can't get. You know what I mean? That's why they have to go
That's
sell the
right.
earth. You know, so to us, you know, we say, how can anybody let anybody go kill another person? You know, you have to defend. We defend ourselves. We of color defend ourselves against their racist courts, their racist pigs, their racist educational system, and even their laws. Everything that they make is racist. Their institution
is
racist.
That's right.
You know, and
yes,
I think we have to wake up. And see, you know, until it hits our family, is that when we're going to stand up? I says, look at those people who are killed and dead. They can't stand up no more, you know. And so we've got to stand up, and you know, we can't sit back down until, you know, we go into the spirit world. Because, you know, this is a lifetime struggle. It's not a weekend warrior. You know, somebody just sent me an email about that guy. What was his name? That white guy. Preacher. Well, anyway, he was like a historian. I think he just Churchill.
Talking about Billy Graham?
No, Churchill. Lord Churchill. He always played that he was Native America. One of those bloody, you know, if they had a bloody nose, they wouldn't have no Indian blood. That one. They said they found him on a documentary recruiting for COINTELPRO, you know, and that now he's helping with some election. He's a Republican, you know?
Wait a minute. This the same Ward Churchill that wrote the COINTEL papers you're talking about?
Yeah.
And he was recruiting for COINTELPRO?
Yes. And he always was saying talking about the Indians, you know. So a lot of the people, just like they did with Talib, you know, they had infiltrators. You know, as long as the infiltrator, you know, don't hurt any of us, and you know, we can get information too, you know, but you know, when you know they are, we don't associate with them. You know, they don't attend the certain meetings we attend. You know what I mean? They can go out there.
Right.
But we know it, like the one brother said, it's supposed to be a thing. Looks like a duck, talks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck, you know? So
straight up duck.
Tell these people, you know, if they have blonde hair, blue eyes, and they're white, you know? We have the same problem about who's dark and who's light and who's accepted. I went back to the reservation and they would say, oh, you know, that cousin is dark. Oh, you're dark. And I'm like, yeah, I'm calling school. When we went to Malta, you know, and we're out of the, out at the beach, and he was, he always wanted to get blacker. He wanted to get blue black. You know what I mean? So when she told me that, I said, oh, yeah, and I want to get blacker. You know, I get darker, you know, because it's like, They think the white a purity, but if these white people were eating people and these white people were screwing dogs and other men and men, why would he want to be that color? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They were
That's
sick,
right.
And there's every so often out here in the country where we're from, man, some of these men, white men, are still doing it with cows, you know, and...
Jeez,
it's sad,
geez.
But that's who they are. And this is, you know, we're in 2000 and something, you know. They haven't
changed.
Yeah,
they still knocking down the cow.
Yeah, so we should always know that they're the enemy. They're the enemy. They'll always be the enemy. And we should never be surprised. And to understand, if we do take it to court, you know, they'll change it. We took the United States to court because we have these white people running our reservation in Minnesota. Okay, we won in 4 years, but now it's going like 11 because they're running the casinos. They got the money to keep paying the attorneys and to appeal. But it didn't matter. We won. We went into their records in, where was it, in D.C.? And went into land claims, and there it was, saying, you know, the land belonged to the indigenous. You know, this nation didn't, you know, go to a reservation, you know. We were people, you know, and stuff like that. So we won. So now they're keeping it stuck inside there. While when Bush was in office, they were making laws that Indians, you know, will not sue again. That's why I think these last two big lawsuits, the first one that they did in December, you know, it's like give them a piece of stuff so they can sell us the land because they want the minerals. We have all the minerals, the water, the uranium in Big Mountain. That's
right.
What they want, uranium and the blue diamonds, you know. And
that's
ours,
right.
We have PG&E has our water, and it says, oh, the Indians are always going to be able to use this water. Now they're charging them. They're going to put a meter in the houses and charge them for the water, and now the water is getting polluted from the farmers that put the pesticides on their corn and their soybeans, and you know what I mean? So it's like they're not even caring for our basic rules within indigenous people is the Mother Earth. And the trees and the plants and the air we breathe and the water we drink should be pure for us as people, you know, and
always.
That's what they submit. You know, that's why I said
Sister
maybe
Warrior
we should...
Woman, let me ask you a question here. Just to kind of clear up some of the stuff, because, you know, we're taught different things. Our people are taught different things in the white man's education system. Can you kind of explain what happened in the red man and woman's history where the white man puts smallpox in the blankets of your people?
Well, they knew the blankets had the disease in them and they're supposed to burn them. But what they did, they were going to be so nice to the Indians and they gave them the disease by that. I mean, we even had, not even in the 80s, the Amazon, the Indians didn't even have a cold. And when these white people taking pictures of them, you know, gave them the cold and the babies were dying, you know, from common cold because they didn't have an immunity against it. And so a lot of the women were, and the whole tribes were committing suicide and genocide on themselves because they didn't want to give birth to a baby. And then when it turned two, it would die from a common cold. You know what I mean? And so, if we're going to commit, genocide, then let's be warriors. You know, let's really show
That's
them
true.
What a terrorist is. But you know what? We're not like them. That's why we say we should have that love and compassion for each other of color because they did the same number on us as they did to you. They brainwashed
Damn
the
right.
Indians. They took the Indians and put them into their boarding school and then cut their hair, made them speak English, made them stop having ceremonies, and there's where the powwows started. The powwows are like half-assed type of dance, you know? Like it's like hip hop today, you know? And that's why we get upset when other nations come in and try to teach the Indians something else. No, man. Let them try to preserve their traditional ceremonies and stuff and, you know, and do prayer. We have to stop this gang warfare. We got to stop our children being killed by the cops or our kids being, you know, put in prison and punked in there, come out wearing pants that are down below their knees, you know, and getting punked out here and bringing that punkness out to the people. You know,
there's
a form of brainwashing because the white people are like that. They're sick. They you know, are born sick. You know what I mean?
Born sick.
The sun even burns them. You know what I mean? They get cancer from the sun, you know? And so that's why we say we pray to creation to keep on being strong like that. So it's a lot of brainwashing and institutional racism and the whole system's there. So how are we ever going to fit in? If we're a circle, they're a diamond, there's no way we're going to fit in.
That's real. And that's right. And so you're up there in Big Mountain and you say you want people to come up there with you. Tell us a little more about that, coming up to Big Mountain.
Okay. We have 240 acres of land called Oyate, which is the people's land. And it's in Dakota, but we got the idea from Libya in the Green Book, where it talks about the People's Committee. And so this is the people's land here in California that is open to all people of color that are revolutionary minded, you know, that do want to see, you know, the end of imperialism, you know. And so Big Mountain is another place where we take people to take food and things to the grandmothers and see how these grandmothers are still dressed from head to toe outside of Arizona and fighting this government. They actually, in 86, they picked up weapons, you know, whatever they had, to not let them take them, and they're still there. And when they were passing something at the UN about support or respect Indian ceremonies, here they're trying to relocate the grandmas in 2000, I think it was 2001, because we were there, you know? So how can they tell about, oh, these Indians? Because they're trying. When I went to, before they bombed Libya, what was it, May 19th? I was talking to a Libyan girl, you know, she wasn't born enough to even know anything about Libya. And I noticed that the demonstration was all run by people that didn't know what the hell they're talking about. Let's reinforce. It's just like, let's reform or conform, you know, to be deformed. You know, that's what they remind me of. Fake leadership. You know, they're putting fake leadership in all our communities. We do fake demonstrations to go nowhere, you know, and they rip off the money, and our people are in the same thing. How many times are we going to do a million more march or whatever, you know? What change did we do? Did we get any limousines? Did we get any weaponry? Did we get anything to fight back with, you know? So it's like, don't tell me to go, you know, and demonstrate with you, you know? You don't even pay my gas money. You know what I mean? And so that's why I say, you know, I'm not for sale. You know, but
that's
this way I can speak freely, you know, because there's no job they can take away from me. There's no money they can stop giving me, you know? And that's a freedom fighter to the end.
That's a freedom fighter.
That's why you have to see how people... You know, if you're going to go in that system and fight that system through the court, understand that it is their system, and it is their court system, and it is their police that are upholding, you know, for you to sit in court or get out of court. You know, right? We're out there with Patty Duff. Remember talking about Patty Duff and the Indian girl that was beaten up by three skinheads in Fresno? We go back on the 16th, and the way they're escorting her into the courtroom and out of the courtroom by the cops or the bailiff, and they're skinhead too. You know what I mean? So the other day, one of the women ladies, you know, because the women ladies, you know, I don't know if you know that when the police have guns and stuff, they always say they have like a penis complex, you know? They lack some. So anyway, these girls are acting all tough, these cop women, right? She had a tattoo just showing off her arm, from her arm. And I says, hey, is that because they're walking Patty, not Patty, but Frazier, outside the courtroom, and she's supposed to be watching her back while the other white skinhead is out there watching the front of her, escorting her out. And I says, is that a tattoo of the KKK on your arm? she turned around all pissed off and looked at me. She goes, what did you say? I said, well, man, here it goes, right? So I just kind of balanced myself in case I was going to fall or she pushed me, right? So I made a stand,
right.
I said, do your tattoo say KK too? Because Jennifer Frazier, her boyfriend, her husband, one of the skinheads that they don't even arrest because they only got her and not the two males that beat up Patty, swastika sign on his neck. And it could be the judge didn't make it a hate crime because when they hit her or they told her off, she you know, it's like she froze, you know, the Indian girl. So she couldn't verbally hear the bad words, you know. And here they thought she was Mexicans, and then we got even more mad. How dare them, you know? We get insulted in the street. They discriminate us, telling us we're not against the other race, you know, but they can't even tell who we are, but you're still being racist to us, you know? And then we go
exactly.
to court. The skinhead cops are bald, too, and they also look like neo-Nazis. You know what I mean? And so I go back to what Doc, remember when he went to Jasper, Texas?
Uh-huh.
And they were with
yes,
guns
ma'am.
Because they drove that, like Long Walker says, they got this Indian woman tied her to the back of a truck, the other half her leg on the fence, and the guy never went to jail. 30 years later, he might have said, I'm sorry. You know, no, man, they should have put him in jail. Now they want to let Patty walk, Patty's Frazier to walk and not spend any time because we wanted federals to do some time. First, you know, they
crazy.
Have so many postponements. But this is what I'm saying. We're going in the system, and we know we're not going to get any justice because there is
no
justice.
Justice.
It's never going to
no
be justice.
Justice.
Yeah, so when you
no
go
not.
In that mind, you know, there's other ways. And
that's
all
true.
I'm saying.
No, that's, no, you said a lot. How can we help Sister Patty Dawson? And how can we help you and come up to Big Mountain, and those that are revolutionary minded and want to learn about
yeah,
themselves?
Yeah, we have contact with Brother Mike and Taco. Right now they're trying to raise funds to get a vehicle and gas money to come and join us on the 16th, which is this Thursday. If anybody can help them that way, you're helping us. Because we want to scare the hell out of Fresno. And the only way we're going to do it is by showing the red, the brown, and the black together. Because it was Doc's dream to get all of us together. And he's the one, if it wasn't for him going out there, there would have never been a hate crime act in this country. Can you imagine?
That's right.
He did that. And when they said we were denied that, we the first people, you know, I said, fuck them, man. You know? And so,
that's right.
So anyway,
right.
If you can help your brothers and sisters in the New Black Panthers in L.A., that'll help us, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
So.
We're going to carry out that instruction. Want to send thanks to Brother Chief Ernie Longwalker and send mighty thanks for you for all the information that you've given us and the history that you've given us. And for continuing the struggle. Any advice at all to those who may be, you know, as they say, getting up in age or getting mature, who feel like we don't have nothing to fight for?
We should be willing to fight even more because we see our life just being drained, you know? I told people when they come here and they're turning 30 and they go through their male menopause and they're in an executive board meeting, if you want to go off in there because those people are all white anyway. You know what I mean? Because if you're going to die and you're going to be old, why just die old and miserable when racism and stuff is still alive? Go down fighting. You know, even in a wheelchair, you could look yourself up with stuff.
Beautiful. Sister Warrior Woman, thank you for being on the show.
But
that's real. Even in the wheelchair, that's the quote of the night. Even in the wheelchair, you can still strap up. Thank you, and again, tell your husband and Ken, we say thank you for being on the show and spending time with us. And like I said, keep us posted on Sister Patty Dawson and keep us posted on Big Mountain and keep us posted on all your moves. Please.
Okay. Peace and love. Love you guys.
All right. Peace and love.
Power.
Love you too. Black power. Brothers and sisters, man, you heard it here first again. That's Sister Warrior Woman. That's Chief Ernie Longwalker up there in Big Mountain on the West Coast. Those are real, live Native Americans. Not the imposters, not those colonial settlers. This is real. It's our family, the Red Nation, right here with your brothers and sisters in the Black Nation. I told you, state-sponsored terrorism against the black, the red, and the brown, and in some cases, the yellow. Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz say the same rabid dog that bites you bites us too. All right? The same rabid dog that bites you bites us too. We're going into this second phase here. I'm loving that. I'm loving that. That Biggie Smalls in the back. We're going to the second phase here now. And this second phase of this broadcast now, we've heard Sister Michelle Williams out of Tampa, Florida, kick the statistics and ballistic to us. We heard Chief Ernie Longwalker tell about looking at ourselves in the mirror and correcting what's wrong with us, that we keep going through the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We're not correcting what's inside of self to deal with the enemies externally. We heard Sister Warrior Woman talk about knowing ourselves, having our culture, being up in Big Mountain. We forgot who we were, talking about struggling. Keep fighting. It's still on. Racism is still kicking. We heard all of this, and it's all on time and all in line. So now we have to give you the balance. We believe in the new Black Panther Party in Mayotte. We believe in Mayotte and the Mayotic balance. And so we have to give you the flip side now, that at everything that's going on, we've got to have some defense. Because then that's building up a nation, brother and sister. Just like you learned, some of you learned about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you learned about Black Wall Street. If you don't have a military to defend your nation, these devils will destroy your nation. If you don't, I'm going to say it again. If you don't have a military to defend your nation and to defend what you build, to defend what you create, what God, the Most High, has blessed you to make, the devil, not no spirit under the ground, devils above the ground will destroy what you make. So we want to now move into a defensive portion, defensive piece of the show to match now what we have learned from our revolutionary brothers and sisters from various parts of the country. We want to bring on now a brother who I introduced to you earlier, who many of you have probably heard about it in a clip here or there, but you really don't know nothing about him for real. So he'll get a chance to explain himself to you. He'll get a chance to explain what he does to you. He'll get a chance to explain to you why we talk about these devils like we do. And he'll get a chance to explain to you also, along with the National Deputy Field Marshal, they will get a chance to explain to you why we must defend ourselves. Let me first bring to Black Power Radio our big brother and champion right out of Philadelphia, our brother, Minister King Samir Shabazz. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother National Spokesman. Black Power, B.B. Parodia.
How are you, sir?
Cracker in the trunk. That's how I am, black man. How are you?
I'm doing almost as good, but I ain't got none in my trunk. I gotta fill something up. What's happening, black man?
Hey, the white man is the devil. The black man is waking up. As slow as the process seems, Brother National Spokesman, the black man is definitely waking up in this day. It's a little too slow for me, but we're coming along, Brother Sean. We're coming along.
No doubt about it, brother. Tell us about what you got going on. I'm just going to kind of let you roll here. We're going to pull in Deputy National Field Marshal in a while, too. I want you all. This is you all's half. This is straight defensive. And so go ahead and roll with it.
Well, I want to start out by saying, Wukusu to all the listeners. You don't know what Wukusu means, it means wake up, clean up, and stand up. At this very present moment, Brother Sean, the Deputy National Field Marshal, myself, we're putting together an Eastern Regional Defense Summit to be held in Newark at Lincoln Park at 9 a.m. this Saturday. We'll be rocking and rolling in Philly on Sunday. I'll be speaking at the Marcus Garvey Festival and Malcolm X Park in Philadelphia. But right now, Brother Sean, we have more tremendous and detrimental things at hand. As I listen to our warrior women, Sister Michelle and Sister Warrior Woman, and just to let Warrior Woman know, while I was in Cali, Queen, it was definitely in my plans to come up to the mountains, but I had no idea you're pretty far from Watts. But it's definitely in my plans, Queen, when we come back in September, we're coming to the mountains. And I would love nothing more than to come home with a cracker's head in my book bag.
Heard that.
So overall, Brother Sean, what we got going on, as we always talked about and you was building on earlier, how there has to be a military. Black people are being shot all over the world. Every 36 to 48 hours, a young black man, woman, or child is being shot down by the police in the United States of America, by the police in Russia, by the police in London, by the police in Pakistan, and wherever the hell white folks are just living amongst black people. We're being shot down like goddamn animals. So with that being said, we had to thoroughly sit down, comrade, in Atlanta, Georgia. Sister Nadia, myself, the Supreme Captain, Brother Hakeem. We had to thoroughly sit down along with Brother Bobby and Brother Sharif and really make a determination on where we stand as far as not only the new Black Panther Party, but a black military for black people in general. We need a military force in every black community. I don't give a goddamn two huffs of crack of shit whether you are blood, whether you are Crip, you are GD, you are Latin King, you are MS-13, and Yeta, whatever the hell you claim that you are. God damn it, it's time to take back our neighborhood. Black women are becoming more and more defeminized. Black men are becoming more and more effeminized, comrade. And that's a problem. And when we have these kind of situations, Brother Sean, that means there is no defense. There is no fight left in the people. There is no struggle left in the people. Hell, there is not even any more will in the people. Anytime we continue to call old faggot Al Sharpton and messy Jesse Jackson to help save us and get us out of these wretched conditions of oppression that the white man continuously sets our behind in and we continuously fall for, comrade, then we have lost all hope, Brother Sean. We have sincerely lost all hope in standing up for the liberation and salvation of the black nation. Black women don't respect the black man anymore. Why? Because the black man is a goddamn punk today. Black men don't respect the black woman anymore. Why? Because the black woman has now become the man of the home today. So when you have this kind of imbalance, brother, there's always going to be chaos and warfare. And I don't give a damn how any of the listeners feel listening tonight. The white man is at the root of all chaos. The white man is at the root of all oppression. The white man is at the root of all self-hatred. The white man is at the root, comrade, of all pedophilia and sexual warfare. The white man is at the root of so-called black-on-black crime. And I really hate to use that term, you know, and right. We talk about that all the time. But the white man is at the root of black suffering, black murder, and black oppression. So until black men stand up, until black men just take the goddamn thongs off, until black men take the polka dot bras off, comrade, and we're going to always be in this damn condition to be nothing but good Willy N-words and really good Mobutu descendants and followers. And if you don't know who Mobutu is, you really need to go do your research. And I'm not going to tell you who he is, so I'm giving everybody a homework assignment tonight. Go and research who Mobutu is. Just type his name up in Google and do some research. And just know and understand that this is the kind of man you do not want to be like. This is a man who is a sellout against his own comrade. And we see this going on daily in the black community. Young black brothers, 15 and 16 years old, blowing each other's goddamn brains out, over bullshit. With 2 weeks to go to Ewing, New Jersey, and I'm in Trenton, New Jersey right now, my hometown, black. But with 2 weeks and 50 goddamn five to go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the goddamn bridge to Myersville and drag some of these goddamn rusty, dusty ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, drag them up and down the street by goddamn trucks, stick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the goddamn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We've been just too goddamn scared for any of these type of maneuvers, Brother Sean. So what had to happen is the new Black Panther Party has decided that we have to now create a military that's really going to represent the entire organization as a whole. Yes, we have the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, but hell, where is the defense? Where's the defense for black people in the black community, brother? Where's the defense for black people all over the world? So this is why I, the national and international field marshal, have been traveling all across the globe, Brother Sean, training and teaching our people how to survive, just the basics of survival, the proper way of storing food and water, the proper way of purifying your water, the proper way of setting up fire and heat in the home, the proper way of dealing with biological and chemical warfare. Now we have to deal with sexual warfare. Homosexuality running rampant into the minds of black youth. Homosexuality running rampant into public school curriculums where our children are now being taught, brother, how to get on their knees and lick down on another man. How young girls are being taught how to get down on their knees and lick all over another young girl. And this is now becoming not just a fad, brother. This is becoming a pandemic for statistical sexual warfare on black youth. So we have to defend that. So yes, we need an educational department to defend our mental. But hell, we're going to have to get out in these goddamn streets. And as I said on National Geographic, I said it, goddamn it, if you want to be free, you're going to have to get out here and kill some of these goddamn peck of woods. You're going to have to kill some of these babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the goddamn nursery and just throw a damn bomb in the damn nursery and kill everything white in sight that ain't white. It's self-defense, black man. I'm not teaching or inciting anyone to go out here to attack anyone. But I'm speaking in strong, liberationary self-defense, which is lacking in the black community. It is lacking in the NAACP. It is lacking in the Urban League. It is lacking in all of these weak-ass, sissified, paid governmental organizations that claim they have a love for black liberation, but they scared as hell to get out in this battlefield, brother, and look this captain straight in his goddamn eyes and send his white ass straight to hell.
That's right. That's right. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad taught, brother. And you know what I'm saying. He taught that if caskets rolled in the white community the same way that they roll in the black community, this stuff would stop. You know what I'm saying.
That's right.
But we scared.
And it has
go
to
ahead,
stop.
Black man.
And until we start slinging some goddamn bullets, until we start slinging some F-13 aircraft and some stealth bombers, hell, I know with all the talent that black people have, with all of the talent that we have, Almighty, I know by now in 2012. I know by now in 2012, I'm sitting out here with the young homies. They just busting it. Don't worry about it. We in the field, goddammit. So this is how we do. So we in
good.
The hood. It was all good. And I'm here with the young black brothers doing what we do. So what I'm saying is, you know, with all this talent that we have, Brother Sean, I know somebody can create some blueprints for a black power stealth bomber. I know somebody can create some blueprints for a black power tank to run down these crackers' neighborhoods. Like they have that green camouflage tank with U.S. Army on it that will be rolling down the hood near you very soon.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. They've taken the blueprint. They've taken the mathematics,
from the original people and use it for wickedness and for evil. So how do we defend, Brother Field Marshall? What is your advice for defense and for preparation? And we know that there's, you know, impending turmoil. We know there has to be ruckus and confusion, a lot of things to get to a certain point. So what do we do now?
Well, it's we can be here until next year, brother, because of what we can do. But I'm going to just give a few basics. First and foremost, we have to remove the fear. You can't be no sissified, pussified, cow-towed, buck-dancing, boot-licking, shuffling faggot talking about you want to be a revolutionary. Talking about you want to defend your community. You want to fight some police. I fight police. I just finished a case where the case was dismissed. I can talk about it now. Where in New York City, the new Black Panther Party was attacked by the New York Police Department, and we kicked their asses.
That's
right.
You
understand what I'm saying? We kicked their asses, Brother Sean. And they never expected the people to start kicking asses. They never expected the Bloods and the Crips to join hands and get down and get dirty with the new Black Panther Party so we can kick some white ass. You understand what I mean? So these are just kind of things that we have to start with. Remove the fear out of your black mind. You cannot fight your enemy with fear, because fear will get you and everybody else around you killed, because you will make irrational, reactionary decisions that are based on just how you feel at that present moment. We have to strategize, plan, and organize. Like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, unity is the number one key to our salvation. We can't talk about even cleaning a Glock until we talk about some strong unity. We can't even talk about throwing Molotov cocktails until we talk about throwing together some serious unity. Because that alone, Conrad, is a weapon in itself. The messenger said that is greater than any atomic bomb, nuclear bomb, proton or neutron bomb these crackers can ever possibly think of. The unity of the black man and woman and child today is the greatest weapon that we can have. But, goddamn it, with that unity, we're going to need some AK-47s. We're going to need some M-16s. We're going to need some FKs. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to need some grenade launchers. We're going to need some RPGs. We're going to need some Humvees with some 50 caliber turrets. Two or three of them sitting on top of the Humvees. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to need children walking into cracker nursery homes throwing Molotov cocktails. We're going to need preachers going into the cracker churches throwing hand grenades on early Sunday morning when the cracker got his hands up. Praise white Jesus. Well, we're going to throw a bomb in that goddamn church, burn up the cracker, burn up the cracker Jesus, and burn up some cracker white supremacy. So we need to learn how to properly store our food. We need to learn the different types of food that are good for storing and preparing. Box foods, or as they call the perishable foods, are very good because they don't really have an expiration date on them. Rice and dry beans are very good, Conrad, to store. You can survive off of just goddamn rice and beans. You don't need a ham hock. You don't need a pork chop. You definitely don't need a ham sandwich or damn pig snout. You can survive off of just rice and beans. The Chinese do it. They have done it, and they continue to do it. And because I was watching a documentary on the history of the Revolutionary Party of the Chinese people. Man, it's unbelievable how their women got down into the rivers, into the rice rivers, brother, up to their damn necks, picking rice just so they can feed the soldiers who is at war with the white man.
When we look
today at our people, brother, when we look today at the African black woman, the only thing she's concerned about with is being up to her neck is in some goddamn fashionable buffoonery. The only thing she's worried about being up to her neck is some alcohol, some ecstasy pills, a couple blunts of weed, the club every Friday night, But her babies are home suffering. Her man is out here trying to be a man, and she's out here just being a white man's whore, uplifting white supremacy. So, black men, we got to get our black woman back together again. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to lose this war. Because as long as the black woman, Brother Sean, is under the umbilical cord of white supremacy, we will always be a slave to the white man.
There's no doubt about that. That's the first, normally, the first casualties of war, really the spoil of war. The spoil of war, what they call the booty of war, is the woman. And so our woman has been captured. Ain't no doubt about that. We're looking at all kind of captured sisters. And so, okay, Brother National Field Marshal, tell us this now. Because now you know they're going to say, you know what the immediate response is going to be tomorrow morning is what we're teaching. We're teaching hatred. We're teaching race. We're teaching racism. We're teaching whatever. So how do we justify what we're saying? How do we to our people listening, because we don't give a damn what the white man think. How do we justify what we're saying to our people?
Well, just look at the murder of Trayvon Martin. Look at the murder of the young brother Sister Michelle was just talking about, Javon Neal. Look at the murder of Emmett Till. Look at the murder of Yusuf Hawkins. Hell, look at the murder of people in your family. Look at the murders for over 582 years, brother, to this very date of 2012. 582 years, Conrad, we have a legacy of rape, torture, and murder that can black us up and justify everything we say on Black Power Radio. So when you hear us talking about killing devils and killing crackers and sending them straight to hell, it is justified, because it is definitely justified in the defense of our liberation in this day and time. So we must never ever forget the Ma'afa. We must never ever forget the black hell of a cost. To hell with a goddamn Holocaust. We paid a hell of a cost. Anytime,
right.
600 million black people, brother, in
That's
one
right.
little short period of time have lost their lives by the hands of goddamn white people. If we go into Tasmania and look at the Tasmanian nation and how they were murdered by the hands of white people, I'm talking literally 100 million people murdered by white folks in Tasmania. And then these bastards had the nerve to disrespect us and give us a goddamn brown character and call this little fucker a Tasmanian devil. Huh?
Think about that.
Black facing us all over again, black man. Sambo-ing us all over again. So when they give you these black face cartoons, it's just an outright disrespect to the African people. Look at this old pedophilic faggot, King Leopold, how he went into Africa and murdered hundreds of millions of black children, amputated their arms because they wasn't working fast enough for this bastard and his goddamn rubber company, the same damn rubber company that Goodyear Tire owned. Goddamn, with these other radial tires, and we bastards sit around here and now putting up 24 Dove tires and all this kind of stuff built off the slave labor of African children. Since we're talking about slave labor, hell, let's look at the M&M's company. You know the M&M's candy y'all rush to the store for. Well, M&M's support slavery. You want to know how? Their nuts, the candy coating for the nutshells is made from children, 10 and under, who are slaves in the Philippines, black man.
Damn, you messed up a whole bowl of people's M&M right now, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Hey, I ain't done yet. I can go to Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Johnson & Johnson. All of these goddamn companies support and still fund slavery to this very day. We just heard about Michael Jordan's white bitch of a wife, who is a major funder of the prison complex, industrial complex, bruh. And Jordan lays next to this bitch every single night. Wakes up in the morning next to this whore smelling like a damn German shepherd. So now what does that make him? A perpetuator of white supremacy, even though we already knew that. So just be mindful when you go out here and rob and kill your brother for a pair of goddamn Air Jordans, or when you go to the white man and get this cracker $200 for a pair of fucking Air Jordans that our people are in African countries serving under slave law, brother, to make these goddamn sneakers, and they end up going home with no food at night, no clothes on their backs, bro. Don't know where their next meal is coming from, but they sure do know how to make a goddamn Nike sneaker.
Just do it.
Let's not talk about justification, Peckerwood, because we can continue your history all the way up to 6,000 goddamn years if you really want to go there tonight. I don't think your little 6 ounces of brain is built for it, white man. So what I suggest you do is don't get a goddamn word wrong on Black Power Radio tonight. You're no good bastard. Make sure you got every goddamn word that we're saying tonight on national news tomorrow morning, and each and every word of it better be correct, or just trust and believe King Amir Shabazz will be in your ass, blacked out.
Black power. Let me just, for the radio audience listening, in case you thought you were in some kind of sleep or in some kind of delusion, we did call Michael Jordan's wife a bitch on Black Power Radio. Let me bring in right now the
Let me add something very quickly. Let me add on to the what do we do part of your question. If you're seriously interested, if you're really, really, really interested in building a black army, if you're really interested in willing to protect your women and your families and your elders again, then what you should do is meet the new Black Panther Party in Newark at Lincoln Park, downtown Newark, New Jersey, this Saturday, August the 18th, 9 a.m. sharp. If you're late, there's going to be some serious problems. Because you can't be late for battle. You can't be late for revolution. It's impossible to be late for revolution. So if you're serious, if you really, really want to get organized, if you're tired of talking and marching and just singing and dancing and holding up some goddamn signs all day and going back home to doing nothing with yourself, come on out to Lincoln Park, Newark, New Jersey, August the 18th. That is this Saturday. Be there, be prepared to train, because we're going to have a long day. I'm going to just give you a few things we're going to be getting into. We're talking about psychological training. We're talking about Vanguard guerrilla warfare training. We're talking about self-defense training, knife training, hand-to-hand combat, being able to disarm a cracker when he got a gun in your goddamn face and send his ass to hell, or maybe even the cemetery, whichever one you decide. But these are just some of the things, Brother Sean, we're going to be getting into thoroughly on Saturday. So it's going to be a long, hard day. You will be leaving in pain. You may have a black eye or two, because this is what real goddamn revolutionary training is. So it ain't no more Cowtown, and if you got some pink sweatpants, ain't no need to bring them. You're in the wrong goddamn army. The Pink Panther Liberation Army is in Chicago, and they are indeed recruiting. But this black army right here is looking for strong black men and women. No faggots and dykes allowed. Please, keep your punk asses home. If you're police, keep your bitch ass home. Keep your badge home. Because if we spot you, we're going to dot you, Black Power.
Black Power, let me go right ahead and immediately bring in on that note the National Deputy Field Marshal. Let me bring in Sister Queen Commander Nadia Shakur. Black power, power to the people. You're online, Black Power.
Black power, power to the people. War to the knife, comrades. I don't even know how to follow that up. I'm over here laughing at the fascists still. I'm thinking about bloodshed, comrade. As you stated earlier, that's all I think about. So I'm going to go ahead and let people know from the beginning, the motto of my spiel tonight is we will criticize the unjust with the weapon. That's all I'm focused on, comrade. It's now time to criticize these devils with the weapon. We've been talking far too much, sir. They're killing our babies all over the country, and we not doing nothing, but we ready to rob and kill a nigga over some Jordans. Fuck that. Jeez. I'm ready to go to war. I'm with King Samir. I'm with Dr. Malik Bouchabas. Let's go to war, sir.
That's what time it is. I think a lot of people are really shocked. But I think for those who
you know, who've been looking for the strong young black male and female and black people and strong red people and strong brown people. We here now. We here now. What's up with the new Black Panther Party defense, sister Deputy Field Marshal? What's gotten into you all?
Well, the Department of Defense has gone through a lot of military think tanks lately, sir, and we've come to the conclusion that we are in a national state of self-induced hypnosis. I repeat that, a national state of self-induced hypnosis, where we have given ourselves the delusion that we're in a play-play war, that we're in a nice war, that this is polite and proper, whereas George Jackson, the General Dragon, teaches us this warfare is not polite nor proper, sir. So the Ministry of Defense is stepping up and retweaking and redefining what our military protocol is for the training of our troops, sir, because we realize that everything we've done thus far is beautiful and we love it, but with the heightened state of repression that American fascism is unleashing upon black people and all people of color in America, it's now time for us to intensify our training, and not just our training, but it's now time for the people to see the military formation of the new Black Panther Party in action, sir. Revolution is about building consciousness, and the best way to build consciousness of oppressed people is to show them their oppressor getting his motherfucking head bust wide open. That's the way Frantz Fanon wrote it, that's another word. The best way for colonized people to redeem their culture, to reawaken themselves to their consciousness, is to kill their oppressor, to see their oppressor's head on a stake. That's the best way to reawaken the black man and the black woman here in America, Conrad. That's the only way we can be reawakened. We've worn enough dashikis. We've dreaded up our hair. We eat fucking vegetarian and raw foods. We smoke good marijuana. Damn it, we're still crazy. We're still passive. We're still turning the other cheek. We still on our knees praying to a white God or some kind of God, trying to figure out when they're going to come save the day. The Ministry of Defense and the new Black Panther Party has said no, never again. Enough is enough. It's now time for us to go ahead and implement the strategies that's been handed down to us for over 400 years, Conrad. We have a legacy of struggle, and the Ministry of Defense has compiled all of these strategies from Shaka Zulu to motherfucking Yaa Santi Way all the way down to Geronimo Pratt. I mean, we have combined the strategies from all our warriors and the tactics that we've used ourselves in contemporary times and put forth a strategy of battle. And then we're going to get into the streets. So as King Samir stated, we do have a defense summit coming up this weekend where we will start implementing a lot of new training tactics and start the survival aspect of the training for the new Black Panther Party. But when it comes to the people will have to start being more engaged in protecting themselves. And the only way they're going to become more engaged is if they're given the tools and shown the ways to defend themselves. So I'm calling for me, Queen Commander Nadia Sada Shakur, is calling for right now live on Black Power Radio the unification of all military formations across the country. I'm calling for right now today, mark the time, mark the motherfucking calendar. Queen Commander is calling for all generals, all leaders of any troops in this fucking country. If you have weapons, if you're ready to go to war, you're ready to train, I'm telling you that we are calling for military unification. Unification and coalitions on paperwork and political rallying, all that is fine and good, but that shit only lasts when somebody's dead. After the funeral, the coalitions die. I'm calling for a military unified front. I'm calling for a military unified program of action in the community to defend our people, meaning we need to start police patrols from Newark, New Jersey, to South Central California, to Tampa, Florida, to Sacramento. Police patrols from every block, from every hood, from every corner, from every church, from every liquor store. I'm calling for police patrols so we can take back political military power of our communities and self-determination, sir. That's what the Ministry of Defense is calling for right now. That's what Queen Commander is calling for right now.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, so let me ask you this: what is it that you all saw? And we're on live risk, so we're not giving nothing sensitive. I know this, but what is it that you all saw in your analyzation that you might have felt like that the new Black Panther Party could have improved on, or we could have done better? What was it that we saw in the defensive department that we wanted to improve on?
Well, first thing is our response to the needs of our people has been not up to par. We've been doing a good job of providing the programs and the basic needs of our people, but the military presence of the New Black Panther Party's response to the people's needs when it comes to police brutality or when it comes to situations of tribalism in the community, our soldiers were not trained for those specific events. So even though we have a good presence in the community politicizing and our mere presence offsets brutality, we do not have a response mechanism that is automatic and mechanized for that act. So the Department of Defense is now building squadrons all over the country. In every chapter that there's a New Black Panther Party, there will be an emergency response, not just of the New Black Panther Party, but of trained, seasoned black revolutionaries in that community. That way we can not only provide a program of providing self-defense and providing an alternative to dialing 911 to the black community and oppressed community in general, but the New Black Panther Party starts adhering to the specific needs of the people against police brutality. We have to combat fascism. And with this entity, we can then start to combat police brutality by patrolling these pigs. But we do not have emergency response. We have no revolutionary backing, and our people become isolated. And that's what we analyze through watching the repression of the fascists. Repression exposes, comrade. And a lot of times we only look at this exposure from the internal side, or we only look at what happens to the comrades in the party. When I say repression exposes, I mean on all levels, every flow of the dialectics, comrade. Repression exposes the psychology of the people. When you see our people every day brutalized by the state, being murdered and sanctioned by the laws in their local community, then the people become more aware. But once the people are becoming more aware, they also become aware that the Panthers or whatever particular formation is in their community is not standing up for them. Yeah, they saw a Panther office over there, but I just got my ass whooped by the APD the other day, and I didn't see no Panthers around. Didn't no Panthers come to the rescue. So we can only back up our words with action when we start doing things defensively for our people. We can feed them, we can give them some clothes, but hell, they come back bloody and talking about, well, my mother just got assassinated, but she was still, well, shit, what good is a Panther Feeding People program, but our people are still being assassinated. So the Ministry of Defense has to step up as a military formation. Not saying that we are not, but with this new level of the game, we have to adapt. George Jackson teaches us that retreating and going back to the drawing board is not claiming defeat, comrade. It's military strategy to go back to the chart, go back to the map, reroute, re-strategize, and rethink what we're doing, where we're at. Look at what level of the game it is right now. The political climate is haywire. Our people are being killed all across the country. And then we have this political circus coming up. They're preparing to steer our people into another level of desensitization to oppression. So if the military doesn't take the time here and now to not only prepare defensively, but prepare offensively. Because if we understand that defensively we have to stand in preparation to meet the backlash of the fascist, the backlash of white oppression, then we also understand that we have to set some kind of offensive measure. And with what's coming up, I guarantee you, comrade, by the end of this year, we will not just be in a defensive position. We will have to push the offensive line. If we don't, then our people will continue to self-induce, hypnotize themselves into thinking shit is okay. But when they start seeing pigs drop, when they start seeing judges disappear, when they start seeing politicians passing out and falling out from weird food sicknesses and poisonings and all that, oh shit, oh, it just got real. Man, this revolution thing, I keep hearing them talk about it on the corner, but now I'm starting to see it. That's what the Ministry of Defense is on right now, comrade. There's no more dog on the show. It's no more trying to develop easier means for our people to accept revolution. I accept that, comrade. I admit that. We have been nice to our people and not forcing them to adhere to a strict military protocol. Those days are done.
You heard it here first, brothers and sisters. Not that we know anything about any judges disappearing or anything like that. She's just talking what is scenarios. And so let me do this here. Let me first bring, we're going to bring on
We're going to bring back the National Field Marshal, Minister Cy Mir. He's going to introduce his brand new song. I don't want you, Sister Michelle, Sister War Woman, or any of y'all to go anywhere, because we're going to have to probably go into the overdrive here, and I want to be able to take questions from the audience, and I want us to be questioned, and I want us to continue the dialogue. And so we're going to take we're going to bring Brother Cy Mir back on. He's going to introduce some new music that he has. We'll take a quick break here and hear Brother's music, and we'll come back with the questions from the Black Power Line. Let me bring on the National Field Marshal. Yes, sir, brother. Introduce your music, sir. Album.
Black Power, Black Power. You're live and direct on Black Power Radio. You are now about to hear what I call the new Black Panther Party anthem, since the Queen Commander, my Deputy National Field Marshal, hit it right on the head. Hey, this is World Warrior, a tribute to the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. This song is one of the many bangers from my album, The Stress of a Field Nigger. If you don't have it, you cooning, seriously. So we'll talk about how you can get it and all that good stuff, but I'm ready to hear my stuff. So here it is from The Stress of a Field Nigger album, a tribute to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Real Warrior.
Artifacts in this world. Love my earth, but polygamous, more than one girl. Wartime got me heated. Governments commanded, conquered, holy war. In effect, and George Bush be the hustler. I'm shaking hot. Shine up, make them clip that you want. Evils of this world, the gods wrote the scripts for that. So maintain the black. Keep your mind right, so here, study that. Actual facts, understand that this God man is black. Actual fact, new Black Panther Party, never whack. Hitting back, bust a God's ass, son, with a bat. Then after that, did Jack Hammer through his bastard back. Look him in his eyes, tell him that's what he get for that. I will smash you, beat you down, kick, bruise, and bat you. I have to break your molecules and regrab you. You step through in your gutter, hold your white spook. Off duty cop, kicked in the mouth with my boots. I'm a warrior, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building black liberation armies, never hit him. It's the first time they got your target. I'm a warrior, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building black liberation. As I pound the ground, concrete still erupting, you're blazing. I'm still amazing, no interruption, no hesitation to take a house nigga's head, cause I'm sick of these cooning niggas with them pretty ass dreads. And I'm sick of these pretty clones, every verse is full of lead. And I'm sick of the radio keeping our babies misled. And I'm sick of these faggot niggas come dripping on your face, on your knees for this crack. I can't stay in your own way. And I'm sick of happy niggas with these Happy Meal deals, and these Jewish ass labels don't love you for real. Every rapper claiming he bomb and steal. He's a bitch for real. You never dreamed to kill. You're living fast enough. Black Panthers making Bush open us. Walking through the path. Harriet Tubman set for us. Back on through the map. Revolution man is a must. We have come to clash everything that's irrelevant. I'm a warrior. Trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist. Trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building black liberation armies. Never hit him. It's the first time they got your target. I'm a warrior. Trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist. Trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. Building black liberation armies, never hit him. It's the first time take out your target. As my thoughts maintain to always remain black. Creature of the night, a devil named Jill got Jack. Big time boss man, run to the crossway. You put the steel in his mouth, take his wife and his sins. Kill the home at the hotel and spend up all the things. I used to sleep in the street, so I don't need no fucking friends. All your crash won't be fit in me, but still be loving your enemy. Residing in stupidity, but for my foes, I got no pity. When I'm moving out my city, I've been watching back up with them niggas who wanna go stick me. Niggas saying stuff, everyone them getting shifty. Got body getting funky, now they call me Mr. Shitty. I'm on the hydro skunk and back for sweets. Eyes red as fire, now I'm ready to brush your feet. payday, payday. Now it's time to kill the beast, a new world order clan. No dino, no man up from the east. I'm a Wookiee, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building black liberation armies, never enemies. For first time, take out your target. I'm a Wookiee, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building black liberation armies, never hit and miss. So first time, take out your target. I'm a Wookiee, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building black liberation armies, never hit and miss. So first time, take out your target. I'm a Wookiee, trained by Khalid Muhammad. I'm a terrorist, trained by the Black Panther Party revolutionist. I'm building black liberation armies, never hit and miss. So first time, take out your target.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost, was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood.
Black power, black power, black power. We back in the overdrive. Let me open your black up. Let me first say, let me bring on, again, the brother who you heard from, National Field Marshal, Minister King Saimir Shabazz. You with me, Black?
Yes, sir.
All right. Brothers and sisters, that track that you just heard, that was, he's a real warrior. He's a real warrior trained by Khalid Muhammad. This is the brother that you heard from. Brother, tell us the name of your album and where we can get it. I'm going to open up Sister Michelle's mic and Sister Naya's mic and Warriors and Women's mic. We're going to take some questions. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Well, Black Power, Habibi for ODA. Respect to all the warrior women on the line this evening. I'm definitely humbly honored to be surrounded by warrior women. And, hey, man, that's heaven for a black revolutionary right now, Brother Shaw.
Oh, yes, sir.
Definitely. Yeah. But the name of the album, Black Family, is called The Stress of a Field Nigga. You can get it on www.rebelslaves.com, or you could just inbox me your information. I'll give you a different connection on how we can make some things happen. Reason being, I say that because the white man the white man, hey, baby boy, all right, the white man has been, you know, doing some things to rebel slaves every now and then. So one minute it'll be all in flood, and then the very next second, I'll just be getting all kinds of crazy calls. People can't get on the site, all that type of stuff. So just inbox me, Minister King Samir Shabazz on Facebook. You can also reach Philly NBPP on Facebook. Inbox me your info, and I'll definitely get back at you for your copy of my debut album, The Stress of a Field Nigga. And check out the video, the capture clip video that was just dropped yesterday for the song that you just heard, Real Warrior. Type in, go to YouTube, and type in Real Warrior by King Samir. And pass it on. We need all the support we can get for that. I want to thank Hollaback Entertainment for damn everything, man. Straight up, you know, that's my comrade, my producer, my label. And I'm honored just to be Black on Black Power Radio, bringing you all the information.
Glad to have you on, brother. Once again, you're tuned in to Black Power Radio. I told you, the most hard-hitting revolutionary show anywhere to be found in the hells and smells of North America, unless they knew Black Panthers. All the Panthers got revolutionary shows. All right? Now listen, we want to take your calls. 646-478-4447. We'll put you on the air. I got with me from Tampa, Florida, Sister Michelle Williams. You still with me, sister? Michelle Williams, she's still with me. She just ain't said nothing. I got with me, Sister Nadia Shakur. I know she's with me. You still with me?
I'm here.
All right, she's still with me. Sister Warrior Woman.
I
can't
put my phone off the mute.
I'm here,
Warrior Woman's here.
Warrior Woman, we got the revolutionaries are all here. So we wanna definitely take your calls in, and we want you all to be able to respond and be able to add on. We're in the after show, and so this is where it gets real intimate. We get real cozy and get to the real deal. And so let me take this first caller here at area code 504-432. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We've been talking about state-sponsored terrorism against the original people. Give us your question and your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Most of all, I want to see soul power, because your soul got to be involved in this. Now, this is
that's
question
right. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, everything's all right, Brother Sean. Now, this is my question. I was reading in the Ebony magazine. This happened in Jasper, Texas. I don't know if you read about this or not. It had a black guy that was he was the chief of police, and he got laid off his job. Now he's bringing up lawsuits. So what do you think about those people who are in high position and then they get put out the way?
I personally think they deserve every goddamn thing they get. Because when you go against the grain of liberation and when you go against the grain of our people, hell, don't think everything is going to be sweet for you. Karma is a mother. What goes around comes around. So while you up at my office eating Dunkin' Donuts and drinking Heineken's and eating ham sandwiches with these crackers that you think love you, trying to brown nose and sit there behind to get a higher position, this tracker is going to show you you're nothing but just a lowly Negro to him. So no matter how far we reach white man's ladder, the white man is going to let you and make you realize this ain't your place up here, boy. You belong at the bottom where the rest of your crap, coons, and whatever else they call us be.
Okay.
So that I personally think they get everything they deserve, brother.
Okay, my brother. Well, brother, I like that song.
I want to make a point to that. It's Queen Commander. I'll come from the flip side of it. I look at it militarily for the puppets. We already know that they don't have a place there, you know. They're going to get thrown away. So I look at it as a way to build consciousness, brother. The more of them that get fired unjustly, the more of them will come to the Black Panther side. The more of them will bring their resources back to the people. And the ones that are still in positions of power, when they see what happens to their fellow sellouts, their fellow Uncle Tom brothers and sisters, well, then they'll go ahead and they'll reawaken their consciousness. They might start secretly working with the People's Army. Because that's what I'm about. I don't care if you're a janitor, a judge, Supreme Court justice, high captain, CEO of a capitalist corporation. If you black, you have to the potentiality to be an ally. It's like we look at people in the Matrix, and everybody in the Matrix has the potential to be a Jack. Now, we're killing Jack as many people as we can. Fine, I love it. We'll mask the ones we can. The ones we can't, clear the fuck out the way. Don't get caught in the crossfire. So I'm with King Samir on that. So the ones that want to come back to the people will welcome you. Just leave that white shit behind you. And the ones that don't, well, they'll see what happens to them. They'll end up losing their jobs, and they'll be repressed just like every other black person in the community. It doesn't matter what position you're in. You still have the complexion. You don't have the complexion for the protection. So, brother, if you feel that you want to support these people out there in Texas or wherever you are, then I say support your people, but at the same time, understand that they're part of the capitalist class structure, and at the end of the day, a lot of slaves that work in the house would rather save the house and burn down with the house instead of running out the house and working with the field slaves to get free.
Okay.
That's true. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
We have a group of about four brown lawyers out there in Whittier, California. And they were talking, well, yeah, we're going to organize the community once we get together because we're going to take over the courtroom, you know, because they're brown. And there's a lot. You know what? They moved the whole court. The white people moved the whole court into Norwalk, another town away, and even further to the federal building downtown L.A. So the white man isn't going to give you anything. As soon as you get anywhere you think you're going to get tired, they just take it out. That's why we saw, when we saw them attack O.J. Simpson, and attack, you know, what's his name, the one boxer, and Michael Jackson, and all of those people do kinky stuff like those people were doing, you know? But as soon as they started seeing that they were going to, you know, give some of their funds to the people, chop them all off, you know? And
that's
I think
true.
We should always remember that if you're thinking of a tactic, you know? And then how many times are you going to let your brothers come back if they're your brothers and they keep backstabbing you, you know? Because some people, these lawyers got kicked out with them, you know, then they got their own radio station, then they got kicked out of that, you know. So it's like, don't come crying to me, man. And sometimes they say I'm too hard, because I usually just give somebody one chance, you know, because that's the way it is.
That makes sense. Sister Michelle, any comments on that?
Hey, I'm in agreement. I mean, the only thing I can do is say amen, amen, amen. I second that motion.
Go ahead. Brother, did that answer your question?
Yeah, he answered
so
it.
So satisfied?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Man, we appreciate you. And appreciate you being a regular listener, too, brother. I always tell you, but I'm sincere about that. Thank you for your support of the new Black Panther Party and Black Power Radio.
All right, Black Power, most of all, soul power.
Black power and soul power. Righteous soul power. We might have put righteous on that, my brother, because some of them souls we got to talk about. Righteous soul power. Let me take another caller here. Area code 706-294. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We're talking about state-sponsored terrorism against the black, the red, the brown, the yellow. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. This is Bobby Price. That's Georgia.
Black Power. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Black Power. I had to get in on this. You know what I'm saying? I had to get in on it. As far as state-sponsored terrorism, man, you know what I'm saying? We got, you know, the terrorists, the United States of America. They're the ones who are bombing and murdering and killing innocent civilians with their drone attacks. They're the ones with the history of violence towards indigenous people and people of color. No one has murdered and killed more innocent lives than these crackers have, these imperialists have. So we need to stop playing around and think that we're going to get through this. Like I said, last go around, we're not going to get out of this without any bloodshed. We're not going to get free by trying to appease those who have been oppressing us and to continue to are oppressing us and thinking somehow it's going to, we're going to come out better in the end. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop trying to assimilate with those who are nothing but racist oppressors and don't want us to ever get to a point where we can truly be free. We have to do what we should have been doing from the very get-go, and we should have been doing it if it wasn't for the likes of Ben Jealous, NAACP, and Jesse Jackson, and the National Action Network and these type of individuals who keep trying to dumb us down and pacify us so we won't ever get to the point where we say, you know what, if we're going to die, we're going to die fighting. We're going to die struggling to be free. And that's when we have to get to a point where we have to understand that, get past this fear and get to the real of it. And it's coming.
because the fact of it is they're going to keep doing what they're going to keep doing what's happening until we can get to a point where we can get past the fear and push past negativity and realize that, man, we got no choice. So for those out there who are talking about how extreme we ain't nearly as extreme as we should be. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So I want to say to my comrades, you know what I'm saying, I don't care what the crackers say about what we're saying about them. We only said what they've been doing.
Exactly.
They're doing the killing. They're doing the ones that are going up in the synagogues, churches, and bombing. They've been doing that for how long? So when we talk about doing what we should be doing to defend ourselves from these types of individuals, I don't give a damn who doesn't like it. You know what I'm saying? We have to send a message to them. If we're going to suffer, if you're going to kill our people, guess what? You're going to know what it's like to mourn, too. Guess what? You're going to have to taste violence, too. It's going to come full circle, whether we like it or not. And I think that we're at a point now in this struggle where we ain't got no choice because it's getting so bad out here that it's killing our brothers and sisters this wholesale to the point where we have got to answer back. We can't do it through marching and singing and praying and believing in some goddamn cracker white-ass, blue-ass Jesus to come down from heaven to save our souls. I don't want to hear that crap. I want to hear one thing only,
right.
That's pass me the ammunition, let's get free. Black power.
Black power. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean.
You know, brother Sean, can I just say something real quick? You know, just to echo and piggyback off the brother. You know, that's what I meant earlier in my comments when I referred to when I said made the statement that the black leaders have laid down across America and they're refusing to challenge the powers at hand. And this is why the white people, the white politicians, this white government can come into the black community and kill, steal, and destroy our black man, woman, and child, because they go, we let them go unchallenged without any consequences or repercussions. If we show them that we're removing our dollars from your corrupt nepotism of a system, you know, if we let them know that the black people, if the black man is saying, you know what, wait a minute, okay, you've kept us down far for too long, now we've come back to take our families back, we've come to raise up our black men, we've come to raise up our black girls, you know, we've come to be the husband of the significant other to our black women. You know, like I say, if we keep allowing white America to go with no consequences or repercussions, they're going to keep on doing the same thing that they've been programmed to do, and that's to keep us oppressed, try to keep
right.
us muzzled. You know, try to keep us muzzled, but it's not happening. You know, and I say this call, I want to hear from the crackers that's on this phone call listening. That's who I want to hear from. Don't have me on national syndicated TV or radio in a couple of days. Let us hear your cowardly voices right now. Challenge us while you have us live on our Blog Talk radio program versus you want us to call into a radio program or a television program to defend ourselves when you have us live. Because I tell any of you goddamn crackers and hokies anything right now, I'd rather die on my motherfucking feet than on my knees begging you bastards for anything.
Real talk. That's right.
I'd rather die on my feet than keep living on my knees.
Yeah, nah, I'm just, you know, real talk. I mean, listen, all them groups out there that criticize what we're saying, what the Bobby said was absolutely correct. We're talking about it. The thing is, we're talking about, we're responding to terrorism. Black people are victims of terrorism. White people have been terrorizing. That's why I said the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow terrorize all the indigenous people of the planet Earth. And the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, Dr. Malik Shabazz taught and teach that the white man is absolutely disagreeable to live within peace. These are just some things that you're going to have to rationalize and some of our people going to have to make sense of because it's real. We're not making this up. Let's take another caller here and get you involved in the discussion. This is fire. Number 646-478-4447. Let's go with area code 347-552. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Give us your question or comment. Welcome in Black Power.
Hello.
Black Power.
Black Power. Talk to us. What's going on with you?
I'm good. I thank God for all y'all that's on the line tonight. You know, And I thank God for what you said about the defense, because there's two things that I stand on. I stand on prayer. I mean, I hear a lot of people, you know, down in Jesus, but that's who I worship, and it's not some
We said cracker Jesus.
Right.
Right. Go ahead.
Because honestly, we need both. We need prayer, and we need, like David said, he said, "Lord, teach my hands to war." And right now, that's the time that we end. We got to say, "Lord, teach my hands to war," because we can't continue to live in fear either. He says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And as long as we keep, I mean, you know, I'm out there in the street constantly, you know, constantly in walks, constantly in marches, constantly in protesters. And it's tiring. It's tiring. And to me, it's kind of frivolous also, because, I mean, right in your face when you're there protesting and marching. Like the last, we was at a protest in the Bronx for a young brother that got killed by Marley Graham. They went in this young brother's house and killed him. Okay, in front of his grandmother, his little brother. But the pigs decided to push a lot of the woman that was there. You know, how are you going to fight us for protesting because you killed a lady's son that did nothing wrong? You know, we're at the police.
They pushed you all in the Bronx?
Right. They was pushing women in the Bronx.
What was the response?
The response was a lot of us was about to fight. Like, a lot of us wanted to fight, but then a lot of the brothers calmed it down because they said it would have been a massacre. But to me, it's like, regardless of whatever, we can't keep looking for everybody black to tag along, because everybody that's black shouldn't tag along. Because the greatest things was done in a remnant. And a remnant is only a few chosen people. Many are called, but few are chosen. A lot of people are not chosen. Like, you know, if you ask a lot of people know it's wrong, but a lot of people are afraid. But we have to ask ourselves, why is it that God made me not afraid? Why did God make me the one to be boisterous, the one to stand up? Because you know why? We're the chosen few. Everybody's not chosen to do this. And truth be told, some ethnic cleansing gotta happen too, because we could look at the cracker all day, but then it be that nigga right there smiling in your face. For real talk, that's okay. Willing to dismantle everything that you're trying to do.
Well, let me say this, and the other guests are gonna chime in on this. This is me. You know, I stand firm on the teaching honor with Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and this new Black Panther Party. And I've heard this a lot. I've heard this even from some Panthers or whatnot, that, you know, we are our own worst enemy or whatnot. I can't, and I do mega research on the honor with Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, his teachings and our program and principles. I can't find nowhere, sister, where the honor with Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad blamed our people for our own people's conditions. Even when he was shot in Riverside, California, by a black man, by a brother, when he went to court, as you heard, you might have heard the National Chief of Staff even tell the story a few shows back, when he went to court, he shot by a black man. He told the judge, "You shot me." The judge asked him. He said, no, Dr. Khaled, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Can you point to the person who shot you? Dr. Khaled again looked at the judge and said, "Devil, you shot me." Okay? Now, was Dr. Khaled crazy? No, Dr. Khaled wasn't crazy. He understood who pulled the trigger, but he also understood the system and the mindset that was given to James Best that made James Best do what he did. Well, all I'm saying to you is this. I don't want you to fall into the trap of us looking at ourselves as our own problem, and then the real problem still exists. Because guess what? Everything that our people are killing each other with and slaughtering ourselves with and whatever that's going on in our community, guess what? Guess who gave it to us? The white man.
I'll let the other
guests chime in on that.
I want to say this. And I just got to be real. You know what I'm saying? In my training, out of the Nation of Islam, out of different revolutionary regiments, and hell, even inside my own internal family. I was always taught, anytime a man puts his hand on a woman in attack mode, that man is to be sent to the cemetery. Anytime, sister, now I'm dealing strictly from the nation. Anytime, let me hear a quick story. I remember one day I'm coming out of the mosque in New York City. And a sister was getting into her car, dressed in her garb, in MGT uniform. And some fool riding by decided, the sister dropped her keys, so she bent over to pick up her keys. And some fool decided he wants to smack the sister on her behind. Well, about 20 brothers ran this fool down, okay? Grabbed him out the car, and I'll leave the imagination up to you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We can no longer sit by and allow punk-ass black men to allow punk-ass police to put their hands on our women, and we just try to calm the goddamn situation down. At that very minute, every goddamn pig seen in that site should have had some goddamn fists and sticks upside their damn head in the name of the protection of our women. No damn excuse for it. No excuse for it. Hell, if we talking about we scared of a massacre, ain't no need to be marching.
Jeez.
Ain't no need to be rallying against no police for some murder of a black child if you scared of the police.
Oh,
yeah. And that's just real tough. You know what I'm saying? We can no longer allow this kind of weak-ass BS to go on in our movements, man. Seriously. That's weak as hell. And then he had one of them brothers who stood there and was cowed down to the pig to have their damn behinds whooped, man. Seriously. No pig allowed to put their hands on our women and get away with it? Hell
That's
no.
crazy. That
Hell
is wild.
No.
But it was the brothers. It was the brothers. She said the brothers were the ones calming them down. The brothers,
yeah.
The brothers were the ones saying, don't fight. The sister was ready to fight. Whatever, them pigs, like the National Field Marshal said, sister, whoever pushed you around, whatever police did, whatever they did, it should have been some response, period. We call
no,
that
they
that's
didn't,
police.
Actually, they didn't push me. They didn't touch me. They didn't touch me because I probably could have been locked up. But
whoever they touched.
They touched the
that's police brutality. I'm
right.
Sorry, go ahead.
And I mean, but it's just stuff like that. That's why I'm happy that y'all talking about defense because it's too much. Like, they killing people left and right here in New York. You know what I mean? And it's too much. We can't keep talking. Like, we even be going to, like, the One Police Plaza for protesting. I mean, and it's good, but we can't keep doing that and not see no, like, real results. Like, that's, honestly, that's tiring. But,
Queen, let me ask you a question, Queen. You just made the statement of going to One Police Plaza, and then you said it's good. But let me ask you this question. Is it working?
No, it's not working. No.
So it's not good. It only becomes good when it works. So if it ain't working, it ain't no good. That means it's time for another goddamn plan now.
Right.
Now it's time to get a bit more extreme. You understand what I'm saying? Now
that's
some
what I'm saying.
Could be missing out of One Police Plaza.
That's right. That's right.
You understand what I mean? Some windows should be stolen or something. I'm just saying, somebody should be dreaming about it, at least.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
This is Wonder Woman. I wanted to add that in Anaheim, they arrested this boy, young man, and they handcuffed him and they shot him. This isn't the first time something like that happened.
Yeah.
It happened in Santa Maria, California, where twice they went to the house and handcuffed him, shot him in front of the wife and the mother, and the cop who shot him, the wife was the one who did the autopsy. Then there was another one that they shot, and the radio says, oh, I'm for sure he had a gun this time. This man, Brown, he had a telephone. As soon as he saw the cops, he called and says, the cops, you know, are going to stop me, and they shot him too. But I'm going back to Anaheim, is now the people are coming out, and they released dogs on the people, bit a little baby girl in a stroller, you know, and so they brought out the SWAT team. They brought off one of those big old, for the little like a big tank, you know. They brought a you know, one of those big old buses, school buses with cops in them, horses, everything, you know. And so they've been protesting out there too, and they've been taking over the sheriff's department and stuff like that. And they're saying now that the reason they had all this technical or tactical work stuff here was because the people resisted. You know, they fought back.
Mm-hmm.
They do whatever they could at the cops, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's pretty soon, like, you always have the homeboys. The homeboys are crazy. You know what I mean? And they're ready to get down anywhere. Don't give a crap, you know?
Hey,
and I think
that's what
they're going to
do.
Yeah.
Because at that time, that happened, Queen, I was in L.A., and we got the soldiers together, and we tried to get into Anaheim, but they had the roads blocked off at least 10 miles outside of Anaheim, because we was only about 20 minutes away. And when we got, you know, closer to it, they had roadblocks, so the people couldn't come in from different areas into Anaheim.
Yeah, that's what we learned back in the 70s when they had the Chicano moratorium. I came in late. They already had a couple blocks already blocked off around the people. Even today when we do have something in Oakland, when we're meeting, they usually have the cops around, you know, the block. You know, so it's like they have to surround us, you know, to keep us in check, you know. And that's why I says we do have to have military strategy. What are we going to do if we're going to fight it out, shoot it out? You know, we better be ready, you know.
That's
and
right,
if
be
you
ready.
Need to have the homeboys just go and shoot these cops, you know, because sometimes in Riverside, the brown people get mad, and every so often a helicopter goes down, you know, and they have a cop to catch. But that's what I'm saying.
Right.
We have to get together just in terms of saying we're protecting our own, you're protecting your own, you know, because they always do that divide and conquer on the reservation. They put two or three reservation nations in one. When they want the resources under it, they make them fight, you know, just like
exactly.
The Hopi and the Navajo people in Arizona. So we know the divide and conquer, you know, and we've read so many, you know, books and stuff. But the reality is they've got us brainwashed to accept all of the religion. It's just like they came with their armored Christian soldiers and threw our babies to feed their dogs. How could I pray to their white God that did that to my ancestors, you know? It doesn't, you know, that's why I says I can't believe in any other. I'm not going to be converted into any other religion. I'm into the Dakotas. So therefore, I'm at where the people are fighting now. And so, you know, if they're killing our people and then they're getting the whole community, we better start getting our act together.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. So the bottom line, my sister, to your question, keep on organizing. We're not saying don't organize. We want you to organize. We want you just to organize effectively. Organize effectively and make sure that as you're organizing, as you're rallying, protesting, whatever it is that you're doing, sis, that you have some, as the Deputy National Field Marshal talked about earlier, some emergency response. You know, you heard the National Field Marshal talk about how they were attacked. They were attacked. The Panthers were attacked in New York by the NYPD and had to defend themselves, you know, so...
Right.
Just think about
just,
that
just,
as you're organizing.
Just, like, I'm just saying, like, for the up and new, you know, upcoming, like, leadership that's rising, for, like, the people that's there, you know, I know, like, we want to respect and love our elders, but if our elders,
It's like the children of Israel keep having us going around the same mountain for 40 years when it could take us 11 days. And I would say we need to drop off that from our elders. And, I do want to pray before I get off the line. You know, I just pray that the Most High bless us all, that He begins to wake our people up. I pray that we begin to become unified, that we begin to be true vanguards and relentless, that we begin to be unafraid, unashamed, and uncompromising.
We definitely appreciate that. And we around here know that the faith without works is dead. So everything that you said, we're gonna work towards it in a righteous spirit. We appreciate you. Thank you.
That's
for
right.
Your call.
And one thing too, we gotta stop letting this white man divide us with like red man, brown man, black man. You read the scriptures, we see that we are all one people. We're all one. Like, I don't care if you're red, you know, as much as like my indigenous brothers and sisters, if you're Latino, black, whatever. We're only person that's our enemy is the white man. He's the devil, he's the enemy, he's the cracker. It's us, the red, black, and brown, that are the same people. And it tells us that right in the Bible.
And that. You're talking some good talk. We appreciate you. Like I was saying, thank you for your call. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your concern. And most of all, thank you for organizing and being a supporter of this mission. Stay prayed up. Stay worked up. And we riding with you, sister.
Yes, sir. Peace and black power, everybody.
Come on out to New York on Saturday.
Black power.
All right, black power.
Black power. Black power. We still rolling. Let me take another call here at area code 214-672. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about state-sponsored terrorism. Talk to us. Black power to you.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean Swally. Black power, black power, black power. God,
black power,
man, I just
black
woke
power.
Up. I just woke black. Up. I'm here while I'm well. Thank you, Allah. Hey,
Anonymous,
Mr. Queen Commander, Black Power, King Thalmira. Hey, what's up, Brother Black Power, Black Power, National Chair Marshal?
Hey, how
did
the supreme
captain
just wake it up? Yes,
sir. I've been out in the streets giving them hell from the cradle to the grave today. Black Power.
Go ahead.
Black Power.
Yes, sir. Hey, I don't know what y'all been doing, but I woke up and the Queen Commander was screaming that thing. I said, hey, I woke up at the right time. Y'all know my birthday is coming this Friday. And your brother's going to
be
sandwich in Flatbush. I'm throwing a great big party in the city of Dallas at the police chief's office. I got about 1,000 gang members going to turn out.
Go ahead. You're a Black August baby, brother, Captain, huh?
Yeah, so I ain't got nothing else to do besides say, don't be new to it, just stay true to it. So, since you see that we're
right.
We got a bunch of goddamn killing by the devil, and we got a so-called handkerchief as Negro police chief even allow these killings to go off. So what we're doing that since they had the Anaheim riot, we also going to crank it up down here in the city of Dallas at Dixon Circle, where the largest gang members of the 357 Crips and the 44 Bloods have united to come together to form war on the Tucker who was here that called and runs the police department, as well as the so-called handkerchief as Negro, who's supposed to be our police chief. Some nigga call himself Brown. We after his ass on a tour to desire. He wouldn't step down. So since he wouldn't step down, a bunch of these local yokels are getting together because of what they've been doing, allowing these white police to kill these black youth. So we've been ran at the police station about 2 weeks ago. And we went in, he wouldn't listen. We went into the police station and asked him to bring his bitch ass out so I could beat him down like a scrub dog and his whole ass wouldn't come out. So what I did decided that on my birthday, if I can't come to defend something on the East Coast of Flatbush, I decided to throw my birthday party at the police station. I broke the record for throwing 3 rallies in one day. So I'm going to stay in this goddamn office on goddamn day. I'm going to pick it. I'm going to protest. I'll bring his punk ass out from up there. If he want to come out and whoop me head up, he got one coming because I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. And that's state talk for you. Here in the city of Dallas, the headquarters, we are having a rally. It's coming Friday on the 17th of my birthday. We're going to party on the police station with about 1,000 gang members. I got family members and people who have had people to be shot by white police who are not being disciplined by being sent to the penitentiary for killing our black youth. So I'm going to say that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to even go up here and hook it up with CNN, BBC, and Al Jazeera. So the buses up there in Anaheim, hey, I'll be in your pain. And the quarantine commandment out of your shot, I'll be in your pain. Sir Kweli, I'll be in your pain. God damn it, King.
No doubt.
I'm with you. I got you. I say, brother, ain't no song going to be left unturned. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. I meet you, brothers, in the hereafter because you know heaven is for black people. So revolution is revolution. You guys say, I'm going to be 15 years old, and I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to kick your ass and take your name. I said it up under the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he told me to stay with Dr. Lieutenant Malik Zulu-Safar. Say, I don't know nothing else to do besides kick ass and take names. God damn white folks, we're going to run y'all bitch ass off the planet. And for any question, we're going to get up, get into it, and get involved. Black power, everybody. Black power.
Black power.
Hey,
black power.
Black power. You can't do nothing but love him. You can't do nothing but love him. That's our supreme captain, Brother Hakeem Muhammad, out of Dallas, Texas. I mean, the general taught us well, brother. There's no love for the other side. I mean, it just ain't.
That's
there's no
right.
love for the other side.
You guys are going to party on the pig.
Man, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's just a little nation, black man.
You know what I mean? Man, it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful when brothers and sisters can come together. This is what united the like minds on the plantation, those that rolled with Nat Turner and all, and they already knew who the enemy was. See, what's difference between for those listening, the difference between most of us and those of you that still have this utopia is we know who the enemy is. Sister Warrior Woman, Chief Ernie Longwalker, King Samir Shabazz, Nadia Shakur, Michelle Williams, Sean Kweli, we know who the enemy is. And we're under no illusions at all. Let me take another caller here. At area code 404-938, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. The topic is state-sponsored terrorism. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power.
Brother
Mauricio, I'm out of Waycross, Georgia.
Hey, welcome, welcome.
Yes, sir. My whole thought pattern came out of when we were in the chat room and a joker came in real quick and he just said what he had to say and he fled. Now, I'm talking on the subject of fear. Need I remind my comrades and my brothers and my sisters that these are the same. I want you to go back to that instance when you walked by that car and you heard the car doors locked. I want you to think about that time when you was walking on one side of the street and that cracker crossed the street because you was coming down. That these are the same motherfuckers that we're fearing. When the truth is that they fear us more than life itself. They fear our education. They fear us gaining education. They fear so much. So my point is that you got to remind yourself of who you're fearing. You're fearing somebody who really fears you. I think the worst thing in the world that you could do is fear a coward. Why are you scared of a coward? These crackers can get it. They know they can get it. And when they find out that you know that they can get it, it's gonna be over.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brother.
I don't even want to call them crackers no more, really, because that's giving them a little bit too much. I did some research on crackers. And what it was is that when they used to crack their whips, you know, that it derived that one time out of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, the cat of nine tails.
I dare you to try to crack me now, motherfucker. You can get it. For the low.
But that's the spirit.
You ain't even got it for the low. About my children's future?
Right.
About that? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You might want to turn around and call me that. Because that's what you'll get: cracked, clapped, killed, put down, put to rest. All the words they say. So remember, my people, while we sitting here, you know what I'm saying, fearing these individuals, they, man, I can't even say no more. Black power, man.
I mean, no, brother. Go ahead. Anybody want to respond to Brother Maurice? Anybody got a response on that?
I feel everything that you're saying, brother, because it's funny, because just earlier, I was on my way to the store, and I stopped at the light. The light didn't get ready changed. Cracker pulled up. I'm crossing the street, but I had to walk in between the cars. So, you know, I'm suited and booted. She looked at me, locked her door. All I heard was click, 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 click. Roll the windows up. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely feel you, black man, but you're absolutely right. We have no reason to fear what already fears the God of the universe.
That's right. That's
but
right.
What we have to understand is how we've been broken down into fear, into the process of fearing them due to their images and their brutality and their mental genocide and fratricide and nutricide and genocide. I mean, just all kinds of sides, brother. These crackers are whipping our asses from all kinds of sides. But I call them cracker because it continuously reminds me of who this bastard is. It continuously reminds me that this is the man or the woman who had my great-great aunt tied to a tree, cutting up her womb.
That's
taking
right.
The black African baby out and stomping the baby into the ground. This is the same bastard who took my grandfather and sodomized him. You understand what I mean? Castrated him in front of my great-great aunt. You understand what I'm saying? So I continuously use the word cracker to continuously remind myself, brother, that this is the bastard that we got to get rid of. Ain't no more talking. Ain't no more explanations. It's time for organized plan and activity.
Yes, sir.
I agree. I wanted to say that some of the brothers are now talking about body bags before prison because of how they treat them inside there and how they spit on their food and, you know, and do all kinds of stuff. And so there has been a couple of people that out in California that have been shooting it out with the cops, you know, because they'd rather not go back into prison and they'd rather, you know, be killed. And the other day, I was driving around with no registration because my tag supposedly got mixed up in their computer. You know, stuff like that always happens to me. So this cop pulls me over. She goes, "Do you know you don't have tags?" I says, "Yes, I do." And my son just took his driver's test, right? And in the book, it says that both your hands, when the cop stops, you have to be on the steering wheel so the cop won't get offended or think that you're going to try to kill him with the other hand. You might have a gun, you know? And that's in the training of the driver's car, you know? So if I have just one hand on the steering wheel, I turn around, you know, to look at the cop, and here was like a little midget girl cop, white cop. And I turned and I just like smiled, you know? Because, I mean, you know, she would have been easy to take down. You know, but anyway, I said, should I move my hand up or not, you know? But, you know, it's just like you always have to be ready for them, you know, because they can take you out any time, you know, and so we have to always try to think of the upper hand, you know, of what's going on, you know. But I agree.
That's
know?
Real.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can't. It's not about being stupid. Now, I'm not telling nobody to be stupid. I'm telling you to erase the fear and understand that as long as you do what you have to do as a black man to improve yourself, their fear becomes greater. It's nothing that you have to do to them in order to make this fear become greater. You have to do it for yourself and do for yourself and gain and maintain that knowledge of self. And I'm telling you, that's their biggest fear. That's why so many of our predecessors are sitting in prison because they fear what they would and could do. Right. So
that's
the biggest thing.
That's right, brother. That's absolutely right. And we're right there with you. We're right there with you. We 100% agree with you and hope that more people would take that attitude that if we would improve ourselves in our daily lives. That's like Brother Samir was saying about the unity. If we would just unify, our unity would solve 99% of all our problems, period.
Yes, sir.
The
Nation of Islam's Minister Sharif had a campaign called Love and Unity.
And well, right. Really, what it derived from, was Mr. Louis Farrakhan had made a statement that the theme of this year would be love and unity. And the reason why he did that, and you know, of course, people opened up their mouth and said, oh, the biggest hater, the biggest racist, what they choose to call the brother, is talking about love and unity. But yes, he is, because that's going to be key. That's going to be key. Once we get that, it don't matter how many guns is in our hands, they done. They done.
That's all they we done. Need, brother. That's all we need. It's some straight up real, like the Black Power General say, not some BS unity, but some real unity. We just need some real
That's
unity,
right.
And it's being displayed tonight on this radio show. If you look at us, all of us coming from different backgrounds, different walks of life, and whatever, we all are united on that common goal, which is the unity of our people, the resurrection, the rise of our people, and the dismantling of our enemy's power. Period.
Stop getting together to break in somebody's house and get together to break into a damn police station.
Yeah, now you talking some talk. But it's funny, though. It's funny how them drive-bys don't seem to make it to the police station. That's another topic for another day. I'm serious, brother. That's another topic for another day. That tells you we know who we shooting at. You know what I'm saying?
Back in the 70s,
they would say
if you don't want to commit suicide or you want to, you know, do something, then strap it on and go to the police station. And a couple people did do that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're not going to let you hear what they, you know, that we had kamikazes way back then. You know, there was people taking over planes. There was people, you know. And then that's when COINTELPRO even came down even harder on us. I mean, there was books at the university that put the American Indian Movement, that put the Black Panthers on it, like five different groups, or the first three were us, you know?
That's right,
so
that's right,
we
that's
know,
right.
And some things, there's a lot of people that just had a giant demonstration in Mexico. They're protesting, you know? And people are saying, well, how come we're not doing it here? I said, well, you stop smoking that dope. You know, and stop getting white educated in those universities, maybe you'll get
right.
Stuff, you know, because
right.
All you want
right.
To care about is that house, the materialism and stuff. You can't take it with you. So why, you know,
right.
And why even go after it when the white man's going to take it away from you anyway? He controls who goes into their little pyramid place of you know, higher success or, you know, so I think those things have to be implemented, but people have to know what and why they're doing it, you know.
That's
if they're
right.
Fed up, they're tired, then we can't have kamikaze like the Palestinians, you know. That's why we have to say we're not by ourselves. Other countries, they're killing babies and children, and look what they did to the fake body that they said that was Muammar Gaddafi. They sodomized them with a rifle. Who would want those kind of people running your country instead of Muammar Gaddafi? A lot of people didn't even
That's
know
right.
How Muammar Gaddafi was helping revolutionary people, spiritual people, you know?
Right.
You know, took the money and ran, you know? And that's what we look at it today, you know? It's like he helped us a lot just to scare this country, you know? And Big
mm-hmm.
Mountain is still there, 86, they're still there, 2001, they're still there, 2012, they're still there, you know? So there's a stand of what you're going to do and know which side of these other countries that are on our side. There's a lot of people that are armchair revolutionaries that have read all the books, you know, and can tell you how to organize and stuff. But will they do it? Stop sleeping with the women. Stop taking the drugs. You know what I mean? You can talk it. You can smoke it. And then it's gone, you know? And that's what people have
right.
to do. If you're going to be a true revolutionary, then clean yourself up. You know, even pray to the natural God. Just talk to the sky, to the creator, anywhere. You know what I mean? You don't need to even go nowhere, you know, to go,
that's right.
to, go to a fancy, you know, palace or a fancy cathedral or whatever. You know, Palestine should, we say, when they talk about the indigenous struggle, it's always Big Mountain, south here. And how the reservations have casinos now. Because that's like 30 years saying the same old crap, you know? And then...
Same
you know,
old
but,
stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's the same old stuff, but, you know, nobody wants to totally do it. I mean, if Palantir belongs to a sovereign nation, Indians are supposed to be under a sovereign nation status, then why is he's a prisoner of war and he should be released? So if all these
right.
Chairmen go over to... to you know, Obama, then why didn't they mention Peltier? You know, because Peltier went up, 400 Indians were killed in that, down going towards Pine Ridge, you know, that area, because Pine Ridge is, like, considered the ghetto, like, you know, not in South Central, but Watts or somewhere, not even Watts, because you guys have nice places over there. No. But anyway, you know, it's an Indian ghetto. It's one of the poorest. And they put a casino there, and the people get, like, 99 cents a year. You know, what kind of stuff is that?
Damn.
You know?
It's crazy.
And then the people want to raise money by growing hemp. You know, and I go, here we go again. You know what I mean? They addicted us with alcohol. They addicted us with drugs. And now we want to raise money by growing hemp. Come on, give us a break. They're nothing but dope addicts, and that's how they got us. You know, we substitute the pain by taking the alcohol, the drugs, and stuff, you know, and then we want to kill ourselves, because that's really what the white man has programmed us do, to kill ourselves off by shooting
each
other, brown, black, brown, yellow, you know. That's what when we, you know, Nayakov, when he passed away, remember him that taught the Black Panthers how to use military weapons?
Absolutely.
You know, we were getting the Asian people together. They had the same problem as us, you know? And so it's just like we became Americanized, you know? So it's like, okay, if we know what the white system is, then we know how to turn around to use it. Like if they showed. Is and go that way. I think my
straight
charge
up.
Is down. But anyway, peace and love, and I just believe in total revolution, a spiritual warrior's revolution.
Straight up. We are with you. Peace and love, Sister Warrior Woman. Thank you again. Again, send our love and our blessings to Chief Ernie Longwalker. Tell him we say thank him for his words.
Love you, Warrior Woman.
No doubt.
Come to see you, Warrior Woman.
Okay. We'll see you soon. Peace and love.
Peace.
All right, brothers and sisters. That's Sister Warrior Woman. Signing off, and we all about to do the same. Minister King, so I mean, any closing comments, sir?
The white man is the devil. Be ready for Newark, New Jersey, August 18th. That's this Saturday, 9 a.m. sharp. Lincoln Park, the Eastern Regional New Black Panther Party Defense Summit. If you're interested, if you're ready to rock and roll and put the talk behind your back and put it in your backpack and we can get to stepping, come on out to Newark, New Jersey. I love you more than you hate your black self. And the new Black Panther Party, Black Power.
And Black Power to you, sir. Thank you so much for your words, encouragement, and your courage, brother. Appreciate you. Sister Michelle Williams, any closing comments, ma'am?
Everybody go tap a white person. All power to the people.
Oh. All power to the people. Sister Michelle Williams coming in strong. Thank you so much, my sister, Sister Michelle Williams out of Tampa, Florida, the chief of staff, showing you what it's like to represent hard on your enemies. Quit being soft. Quit being soft. You, Dr. Khalid Muhammad said in one of his last talks, he's talking about enough Negro stuff. He said everything in this world is hard and rough and rugged. They asked him why he talks so rough. He said, everything in this world is hard, rough, and rugged, but you and your old soft self. Quit being so soft. Sister Michelle Muhammad, brain like it's supposed to be brung. Thank you, sister. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's Black Power Radio. We appreciate you for tuning in. We ask that you join us again and keep joining us. Again, join us this Wednesday. Wednesday night will be the National Ministry of Education. We're kicking off our online University of Pan-African Excellence. So teach your children. We have a children's class where you can teach your babies right there at home. We're opening up homeschools. We're going to stop sending our babies to these killing fields. That's Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join me Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. I got a surprise guest for you. May come back even on Friday with another guest for you. Be keeping it rolling. This is Black Power Radio. I leave you as I came, saying it's black power to black people. It's all power to the people. And if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Black power.
And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. don't struggle only within the ground rules that the people you're struggling against has laid down. Why, this is insane. But it shows you how they can do. They make the, with skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent. That's a shame. Because we get tricked into being nonviolent. And when somebody stands up and talks like I